have to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. Welcome to the show. You can get involved by calling 888-777-5377-888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, it's a doozy. It's a ola. It's a punchy. It's amazing. How do you trust God? You know, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, I trust God. I trust God. Trust the Lord. And I want to know, how do you trust God? Amazing, huh? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about, running around because you got to get things done this morning, or you're in another part of the world because we are heard around the world, and you can't just sit and listen. You can podcast the show, of course. But if you just can't sit and listen, you can podcast and listen to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. We have every, you can also support us by having your comments read out, donating to have your comments read out loud on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. Amazing. Oh, amazing. It's Tuesday. Yeehaw! All my life I've been, it's Tuesday. And every Tuesday. It's not Beyonce's country in Western Tunes, that's for sure. But it is normal people, real country and Western people, country and Western Tuesday.
All my faults, well, they've all been lies. They let me down every single time because the devil's been making holes inside my head. The good, the bad, the glad, the sad. If I could let them all go and give them to God, well, maybe He'd take this anger from my soul. And I'd shine like a light that's too bright to see. And I could lean on God so He could lean on me. Forgive. Righteous, perfect peace.
Amazing. That song is too much. Pete from Alaska. is the author of that song. The author, the producer, the writer, the singer. Pete. Amazing song, Pete. It really, really is. Amazing. But anyway, it's a spiritual battle. As we move along this morning, I hope to talk to you a little bit more about what you got to realize. I do a lot of counseling every day with people around the world, men and women, family intervention counseling, either by phone, Skype, or walk-in. And I'm discovering so much, I just don't know what to do with the information. And one thing I hear a lot, human beings, I want you to know how unnatural this is. It's so unnatural, you got to know something is wrong. And I'm not talking about physical fear, right? But I'm talking about spiritual fear in your mind and emotion fear. I'm not talking about walking across the road, looking both ways, punching that little yellow button so the lights can start flashing so the traffic can stop. Not that kind of fear. Or you're walking in the hood and some black guy walking up behind you, and as Jesse Jackson said, you were going the other side of the street. We look back and see it ain't white people walking behind you. Something like that. I'm talking about it's abnormal. Even in my weakest moments, before I woke up and started to understand what was going on in life, I never really, and I know it's because of the way I raised. I have no doubt about it. I've never really thought much about what people thought of me. And I never really had, I had a little bit because I had my mama's spirit, but I never really had fear of people. You know, that psychological, emotional fear. I never had that, except when I used to date a lot. And if I wanted to tell my girlfriend how the cow ate the cabbage, I would be a little nervous about that because that was the mama spirit in me. But I never really grew up, so it's not difficult for me to be that way now, I guess. But I never really grew up psychologically and emotionally being afraid to express myself to people or to agree or disagree. I never really held grudges against people. I would get mad sometimes, but it's over. It's done. Okay. But today's Americans and around the world people, not just American people, they literally have fear of other people. That's, as I speak, you should realize this. That's not normal. It doesn't sound normal, right? Who are other people, and why are they so important to you that you put one iota of a thought into what they're saying or think about you, or you're afraid to speak up to them? What? It's just a human being. And anyone that think negatively about you or talk about you or anything like that, you should be glad to see that, because I don't care who it is, you know that that's your enemy. It's not a good person. They are not trying to help you. They want to hurt you because they're evil. It looked like you would be glad to see that and not disappointed or afraid. But it seemed as though when people see other people's true colors, I see your true colors sliding through. That's why I love you. True colors shining through. Look like you should be glad to see, because you're blind, and in your blindness, you get all mixed up with all kind of people, and it always turned out to be bad. It never turned out to be good. Because you think a friend is an enemy, and you think an enemy is a friend, and you're afraid of both. I want you to know that it's abnormal, because human beings are evil. If you notice, Christ didn't pay any attention to evil human beings. He was at his apple. He tried to point the way to those who wanted it, but those who did not want it, he gave it zero thought about what they said about him, what they thought about him, and all that. Zero thought, because he knew that those people were evil. Whether this is your family, your friends, your husband, your wife, your children, you know, anything. And I want you to realize, pay attention to you, if you want to be free. If not, stay in your misery. I want you to know, when you feel fear or thoughts about others, whether good or bad, pay attention to how those thoughts are in you. They're in your head. They're not out there, but it feels like it's coming from the outside, but it's really all on the inside. And it's coming from you, and it's your problem, not someone else. You are not supposed, God did not give you a spirit of fear. Fear is an illusion. It's not real, and it's not from God, and it's not from you. Drop the anger, you can drop the fear and be free. But you got to drop the anger. Just a little FYI, because so many people are suffering from worries about other people. And I promise you, if you can see what's going on inside of you, you're going to see what's going on the other side of inside of others, and you're not going to tolerate it, meaning that you won't be moved by it. Human beings are evil. They're in an animal state, and they're evil. They have no love. There's nothing good in human beings, period. Your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband, your children, your coworkers, your friends, the man and woman walking down the road, the man and woman at church, the alcoholic, the drug addict, the murderer, the rapist, the whatever. It's all the same. It's zero. All the same is evil. But you got to, you don't have to, but for you to see this clearly and overcome fear, overcome the illusion, you got to pay attention to you. Now, if you don't want to pay attention to you, if you don't want to overcome, you want to live a life of fear, go ahead. Another thing, when God said, or Christ said, take no thought. And mark this down so you can remember it. Repeat it to yourself so it can stick. Take no thought, zero thought about yesterday or tomorrow. Take no thought about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat yesterday or tomorrow. When he said that, he was warning you that whenever you do that, you're going to be miserable because you're living in darkness. You're living in an illusion. You believe yesterday still exists because you believe in a lie in your head, which is of darkness, and you are believing that whatever happened yesterday is happening now. Because you're in your head. That's why I said that anyone that has anger is stupid. Isn't that stupid to think about yesterday as though it's, and then you have pain from it. Oh, I ate that cheesecake yesterday, and I feel horrible about it today. Why? Because you believe it still exists. You ate the cheesecake yesterday, it's over. Take no thought about today, I mean tomorrow, or yesterday or tomorrow, the future or the past. It's just an illusion. Yesterday was yesterday. Now yesterday doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. But the Prince of Darkness will remind you of it, because that's where he dwells, in time, past, future, right? In time. God dwells in the now, dwells in the now. Life is in the now. All answers are in the now. But the Prince of Darkness dwells in the past, where there are no answers and no solution and no anything, and you dwell there with them, and you suffer, and you cry. and you're lonely, and you're pitiful. All my life, you're just pitiful. Stop being pitiful and live. Stop being pitiful. What are you saying, Anchor Baby?
I was just listening to you, and I'm thinking about therapy a bit, and how in some therapy people, they get you to focus on memories. Remember what you remember. And then you're sitting there focusing on memories, and they don't tell you, stop doing that.
No, they keep you in hell because they're in hell. How are they going to tell you to come out of hell when they're in hell? How can one evil alligator tell another evil alligator how to overcome? So the therapists don't know what they're talking about. They're in hell. They keep you there. And your dreams are unconscious dreams, too. It ain't from God. I had a dream. I had an awful dream. Those, you're unconscious even when you sleep. That's why I recommend you practice being present. So when you go to sleep at night, you can sleep like a baby because you're present even in your sleep. Otherwise, you fall into a past or future in your head, and you're thinking from God. Because the preacher will tell you it's from God. And you think you're having a dream that is helpful. And the Lord told me in a dream to go down yonder and tell Sulan to sit down. But anyway, I can't tell you the number of people who are suffering from things that happened or they did 20, 30, 40 years ago, 7 years, 8 years, and they are feeling the pain as though it's happening right now. And then they react to the pain if anyone even looked like they want to get on them about it. And I'm like, it's over. Satan is telling you that most people don't believe this, but all lies, all thoughts, all lies, all the time. Another thing too, real fast, then I'm gonna move on. I'm telling you, y'all do what you want with this anger thing. You try to justify being angry by saying Jesus was angry, and then you work all around it. You fight to prove that Jesus was angry because you are angry, and you think Jesus felt what you feel. Anger is not necessary. Anger is evil. Parents destroy children with anger because anger is vicious and evil and wicked. And anyone that has anger is disconnected from God. If there was anything good in anger, why do your kids hate it when you're not patient with them? When you don't show love? When you don't have time for them in the right way? Because you're putting out nothing but hate. And you call it good. It's never, never, ever, 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 but never. Oh, good, what happens? Never a reason to be angry. And don't come up with living in the future thing. Oh, well, what about if your daughter was raped? And if your daughter was raped, wouldn't you want to hurt the person? Why are you thinking of something that's not even happening? Is your daughter raped? Did you have a daughter? No. Do you even have a daughter? No. You're coming up with still things that doesn't exist. That ain't what's happening right now. Why would you go in your head and dream up something? Why not have a way to see in the present and just live life? But you go in your head and dream up scenario and you thought, and you call them good. You don't know what you would do. How about having a way to see? And plus, it may not might not ever happen, and you've already lived it, as though it did happen. What the? In your mind, you imagine somebody raping your daughter, and you imagine yourself going looking for them. You imagine yourself hurting them. And it didn't happen, never will happen, but you've lived it as though it does happen, or it did happen in your imagination. You felt the pain of it and everything. You felt the sadness about it. You felt the rage. And it never happened. It was just in your head. Satan gave you those thoughts. Well, what if this happened? What if this? And you think, it's your own. Oh, I'm just saying, let me move on. There's another airplane crash. USA Today is reporting a Delta Airline regional jet flipped upside down upon arrival in Canada's Toronto Pearson Airport on Monday, injuring at least 18 people of the 80 people on board. Watch this from Fox News.
Sean. Yeah, and that is the amazing news today. Again, 18 people have been transported to Toronto area hospitals. Lots of concern about those who are hurt right now in this, the fourth.
All my life I've been on my friend. Let me come back.
We're going to have to.
Lord, have mercy. Help me, Lord. But I think it's interesting, like all of a sudden, unless these things were happening before the last couple of weeks and we just didn't hear about them, right? Which is quite possible. And it could be it. I don't know. I'm just saying. And the media could be reporting it, making it look like it's a big deal, and meaning that it happened a lot, because the media hate the Trump administration. They don't want them to succeed at making America great again. So it could be that, and since I don't trust the media, I don't know what's going on. But it seemed that more planes are having incidents. Now, I predicted a couple years ago, give or take, maybe 1 year ago, 2 years, that because of DEI, that we were going to have plane incidents. And we had started to hear of near crashes, near hit, near running into, near things, right? Because of DEI people. They took DEI, for those who don't know, they took out all the qualified white men and they replaced them with unqualified people of color, quote unquote. People of color used to be just black people, but the black so-called leadership and others forced other people into that blame category, victimhood category, as the blacks, even though nobody liked the blacks. They're all put together by force, but they really don't get along. They don't like one another, and especially with the blacks. But it was. I knew that these things would be happening because people are not qualified to be an air traffic controller and pilots and things like that. But we'll get to that soundbite. When I get it, I'll let you know. All right. So apparently that another crash there in Toronto, Canada. And according to NBC News, somebody by the name of Tom Costello tried to tie that to Trump must and Doge. The airline crashed there in Canada. They tried to blame it on Trump and Doge. Will someone let me know when it's ready or if it ever get ready? Okay.
Derek is working on it.
All right. And so they tried to blame Trump for everything now. You would think that the American government would be happy that somebody finally got in there and kept their word or keeping their word that they're going to clean up government. They're going to clean it up. And finally try to do it. But no, the Democratic Party is having, and the liberal media, having a hissy fit. They don't like the fact that the Great White Hope is trying to clean it up. I want to give you, are we able to play the Israel thing?
No.
Oh, so we can't even play what happened down in Miami?
Not just yet.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Anything 18.
Let me go to... let me go to Josh out of Georgia. Josh, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jesse.
You're welcome, man. Amazing.
Yes, sir. I was calling to answer the biblical question.
How do you trust God?
I would say the idea of trusting God is all a lie. It's an illusion from the devil.
So you don't trust God?
I can neither confirm nor deny. It's like, look, okay. If Peter walked on water with Jesus, and after he actually walked on water with Jesus, he later on he denied that he ever knew Jesus three times in a row. You know, it's like humans don't have control over what we'll do in situations. So, you know, anybody who says, I can't say what I will. I understand I have a demon in me, and I do things I don't want to do constantly. So the idea of trusting in God sounds like a setup to me. To
understand your response to the biblical question, I'll put mine in on Sunday. How do you trust God? Are you saying, I know you said you cannot confirm or deny you trust God. So how are you responding to that question?
I would say letting go of the idea of trusting God is how you trust God. You know, don't try to trust God. Don't judge yourself when it seems like you are or not, you know, just that. Because that idea of trusting God is a trap. And that's what works best for me, is just to let go of the idea of either of God, the idea of me, the idea of trying to trust God, the idea of that I can do something or I get credit for doing something.
But for now, you don't know if you trust, you can't confirm if you trust him or not. Am I right?
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Correct.
Amazing. Right. Did you know before it became a biblical question if you trust God or not?
I didn't know. I blindly thought, of course I trust God when I first heard the question, but, you know, when you break it down, it's like, I'm not even sure what that even means. It puts thoughts in my head, which are definitely from the devil. And I don't, I would just leave it blank. You know, I wouldn't, you know, it seems like a setup. There's some kind of setup behind it, you know, causing me to think of myself as bad or good. And I'm neither bad nor good.
Amazing. Interesting. Yep. Thank you, Josh.
No problem, man. This is a great question.
It is. It is an amazing question. And I've asked so many people, man, they got all kind of answers. And I especially asked the Christians. And it's amazing the answers, the responses I've got is out of this world. But thank you, Josh. I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Let me take a quick break, 888-775-3773. Quick break, back in a moment. We burn hot as kerosene. Baby, we got our own thing. She ain't skinny and I ain't tall. And that don't bother us at all. I run naked through the yard. She flashed every police car. Drinking wine and getting tired. Shooting out the damn street lights. How does she put up with me? Oh, baby, we got out. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry. because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women too when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good or they'll make her angry. And the woman's gonna have to say, you don't wanna be angry. You wanna speak up, you wanna disagree with what's going on, it's wrong, but do not be angry. Then you won't have fear, you won't have doubt, you won't have worries, you'll be able to see, but you gotta stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger, because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. Okay, welcome back. Few announcements before I go back to the phones. Number one, did you see Punchy yesterday? Oh, my God. Punchy TV. There was a brand new episode yesterday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. You can podcast and check it out. But here's a little taste of what happened on Punchy TV on yesterday. Watch this.
Reading scripture. So, and right now we're nipped. You have to read the word in order to understand it.
You don't. Not the Bible.
The Spirit gives you common sense. So the word of God is much more than just the Bible.
Because you are the Bible.
Honestly, I believe that's a dangerous way of thinking right there.
Is there a single example of Jesus being somewhere where he was not wanted?
That's what I'm saying.
Everywhere.
That's what I'm saying.
Tell me one.
He was almost never wanted anywhere he went.
If I'm preaching and somebody's coming after me to murder me, I can infer that I'm not welcome.
So they won't answer the question. People. Okay.
Y'all need to check that out. I'm telling you, take a moment. Later today or tonight, after all the shows are over, Punchy TV, P-U-N-C-H-I-E .TV or Punchy TV. All right. And while you're at it, check out Punchy's coffee. Oh my God, I got my own coffee. Who would have thought? And it is good. Punchy's coffee. Go to rebuildingaman.com/stores. Rebuildingaman.com/stores. And every dime that you spend on Punchy's coffee, it goes right back to the nonprofit. So you're helping us to help others. Isn't that amazing? Thank you in advance. I want to go to Scotland and talk to Andrew. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Jesse.
Hey, Andrew.
How are you doing?
All is well. How about you?
I'm still troubled by our conversation yesterday, so
okay.
I can't say all is well.
All right. What part of it are you troubled by?
Well, I believe we were only halfway through the conversation.
Uh-huh.
And I'm glad you had to move on and speak to other people, because I'm not trying to demand your time or anything like that.
Right. I understand that.
I believe that we were coming to a sort of conclusion, which is maybe I have misinterpreted what the word friends means in your sort of dialogue of words. And all I'm saying is, if words are just words, and that's all they are, they're just words, you know, they're like nothing really, they're just words, there's only skin deep.
Right.
Then surely the word friend would be just as important as the word love. would it not? Or just as not important?
Words are just a form of human beings communicating with one another on Earth, right? It's just because in real reality, we were not created to communicate with words. We were created to communicate without words. But because of the fall, we woke up in a fallen state, and we woke up to speaking to each other with words. And because human hearts are wicked, human beings are evil, they make up words in order to control you. And so they made up the word marriage, and they made up the word friendship. And none of those things people are able to live up to. But let's say that you and I are friends, right? But let's say that we were friends without ever having to say we're friends. Don't put a title on it at all. We're going to treat each other better than the title friend could ever treat one another, because we would not have attached a title to it. We would not have attached an identity to it, because the moment you attach a title, identity, it become ownership, and you come up with all these stupid rules and regulations that you got to follow to prove that you're a friend. It's like religion. The reason religion doesn't work is because human beings made up a spiritual thing and call it religion, Christian, Allahu Abba, Jewish, all these things. And now they fight over religion. You got black people fighting, thinking that they're the real Jew. But if they never had a title, they would never fight over it.
I'm talking about the specificity of what a friend is. And then as soon as I've let you, like, go on your own tangent, you've instantly started mentioning marriages, the Jews. I'm not talking about the Jews or marriages. I'm just talking about friendship. I'm just talking about, like, let's say, for instance, one of my friends, his name is Alan, and the only way that our friendship was, created was because he let me down. And then he apologized, and then I let him down, and I apologized, and we made in, and that's what created the friendship. So I'm not talking about the Jews. I'm not talking about marriages.
No, I'm talking about religion. I'm talking about husband and wife. The moment
I'm talking about friendship.
But what's the difference?
Well, the difference between a husband and wife is they have a sexual relationship and they create children, and a friendship would be almost always platonic.
But if you notice, friendships don't work.
I'm telling you, they do. Why is it that I've ended up, nobody particularly likes me, but I've ended up with five friends, or six, like I was counting them up here. So if hardly anybody likes me and I've ended up with six friends, well, how has that happened then, sir?
And do they like you? Your friends like you?
No, not particularly.
And so why do you call them friend then? Why you say they're your friends if they don't like you?
Because they put up with me and they've stuck around and they do like some of my things that I do, but in general, they don't particularly like me. I've asked them, and they say, no, not really.
But if you never call them friend or see them that way in your mind, because you can use the word friend, but don't see it that way in your mind, you would get along much better. They would like you and you would like them if you never in your mind saw it as a friend, because there would be no requirement.
Well, that is basically the case that you're describing. If I'm being totally honest with you, and this is a little secret here, so don't tell anybody, but I don't really like them either, but I still consider them friends.
But you don't like them?
Not really. No, I would hate to have to live with them or something like that.
Amazing.
Oh, it is amazing, but we still have to both accept that there is a thing called friends.
I accept that there. There is a word called friendship or friend, just like there's a word called racism, but racism doesn't exist either. It's just a made-up word. And it's made up
to... Here we go again. Hey, I'm trying to talk about...
That's why God wants us to overcome words. He doesn't want his children... He wants his...
I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement. So we can't disagree on this. I'm in agreement. We should overcome words. But they are there. And they are there for a use. And what I'm saying is, I agree with you that racism doesn't exist because I tried the thing out. I said, find me the racist. And all I did was ask all my friends, asked all my, I've got some friends that are girls as well. I asked them, asked my own family members, asked myself. I couldn't find a racist. And I'm like, Jesse's right.
Yeah.
He can't find the racist. And even people that said they were racist are like, well, to be honest, the only reason I was racist is because my granny or my granddad used to say racist words and I repeated them. But they weren't racist at all. But that is different from friendship. Racism is not real, I concur. But friendships are real. And I don't even understand why Jesse Lee Pearson is denying that friendships are real.
James,
I really don't get it.
I hate want to explain to you what I'm saying. And then we got to run with this. We got to go because of time. What is he not understanding about what I'm saying? Or you agree with him or with Andrew? Or what do you think about this?
Well, I definitely like your point about putting a name and a title and an obligation when you fall into thinking, oh, no, I'm friends with this person. And now I have to perform as a friend to this person.
Yeah.
There's a weird obligation and ownership, like you said, and something you have to live up to, and it messes with your head, and then you're no longer a real person with this person that you're calling a friend.
James, please listen. But I'm saying that's an assumption. When you meet somebody and they're a potential friend, if you're already thinking, oh, this person's going to want something back from me, well, it's you that's pushing that friend away, is it not?
Yeah, I'm not talking about the other person. I'm talking about what happens with me. When I'm thinking,
what makes you so important in the equation?
My head gets, it's not that I am important. It's just that in my head, I add some weird importance that makes it artificial and it distorts how I would naturally act.
So you're pushing away potential friends because your artificial part of your mind is telling you that you're going to have to do something for them in the future.
No, it's not that I'm not pushing them away necessarily.
You're making an assumption
How
that
so?
They're going to want something back from you.
But
well,
they do. The moment you call their friendship, they're going to want something, and you are too, even if it's just a hangout.
No, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that.
You know what, Andrew? I got it.
I feel like my impression, Andrew, is that you're a really emotional, passionate man. And that you put a meaning to that word friend, and you don't want to let go of the notion of a friend because you maybe like identify with I'm a real friend. That's how I picture.
So,
that's how I kind of like the impression that I get from you.
That's fine, James. I understand that you have an impression of this.
No, I'm talking about is this real? Is this true that you have an emotional need for a friend to be a real thing?
Yes, I do.
That's the problem.
Why?
You should not want for anything.
Why not?
It keeps you away from life. It keeps you away from truth. It keeps you away from God.
Right, so fair enough then. If I don't want my dinner tonight, then do I not get to have my dinner?
No, not that, man. Meaning that.
Exactly. I also want friends. Just like I want my dinner this evening, I also want friends. What's wrong with wanting friends in life?
And why do you want friends?
The same reason I want my dinner. Keep me
no,
going.
You want your dinner to nourish your body. Why do you want friends?
I want them to like nourish the reason why I'm alive.
Why?
Because there's a reason to be alive.
Why?
to live.
Wait, he may not just want the dinner to nourish his body. He may want dinner to satisfy that emotional need for that food, too.
But this is assumption again. This is
I'm just assuming. I said maybe.
But well, exactly, but it's still an assumption.
Andrew, I got to run because the board is so crowded. But very interesting.
I'm never going to win this summer with you guys. I'm never going to win this.
Well, it's not about winning it or losing. It's about getting an understanding.
Listen, from my side, I'm just being honest with you. From my side, it is about winning.
No, it's a, we're not. Don't be trying to win. You want an understanding.
What's wrong with being a winner, like?
the important point in my mind is that you, like Jesse said, want for nothing, but you want a friend and to be a friend.
Keep them.
What? Andrew, what'd you say?
Hello?
Andrew.
I said, hello, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, yes.
Yeah, that's not me, that's the Skype again. All I'm saying is, I'm not saying that I want friends. I'm saying I've got friends. And it's almost like I don't deserve them because I'm not a particularly nice person, but I've still ended up with friends. So but all I'm saying is, friends are real. That's what I'm saying.
But you're distraught
but
over...
I don't understand.
But you're distraught by how we... No. Let me finish my statement.
I'm distraught because I'm raising my voice.
No, because you said that you're troubled. You've opened up this call. Jesse said, all is well with me. How about you? Well, I can't say all is well. I'm troubled by... Because I'm not satisfied with our conversation about friends.
Yes.
So you're distraught that we don't see it the way you see it.
I said the word troubled, and now you've added the word distraught.
All right. Well, same thing, man.
Potato, potato.
Right. Because there's no way... There is no potato.
Well, no, it's not potato. Meal. That's the same as saying, like,
Andrew,
are you distraught about that plane?
Andrew, listen.
I know we're not going to win.
I know, but call me again on that, but I got to run, though. I'm putting a lot of time in this. Yeah. Call me again, all right?
I know. Thank you for your time. And I know I can't win this one, so I'll have to find a better.
All right, but let's talk again.
Bye. Cheers.
Okay. 888-775-3773. Super chat.
Super chats.
Over on Punchy TV, the premiere of Punchy TV yesterday, Lin Yen Shin says, "Hey, I told you Derek thinks of the Bible as how God can communicate through us. It's nasty womanhood drowned deep inside his soul. So much fear in not worshiping the book as God's word." Says Lin Yen Shin.
Amazing. Thank you.
And Kale.
That was from Punchy TV?
Yeah, that was during Punchy.
Amazing. Thank you.
Kale during Punchy says, people who believe you need the Bible to know God obviously don't know that the Bible was put together hundreds of years after Jesus.
Amazing. Good point. Thank you.
Lin Yen Shin with yet another. Joelle, of course. Why would I side with a womanish pulse? He said a different word. Of being intellectual about text in the Bible as if it is the will of God and not pen and paper of man.
Thank you. I don't know what y'all talking about, but thank you.
We had a Bible Thumper conversation
yesterday
on Punchy TV.
Oh, okay. Amazing. Thank you, Lin Chen Chen.
Lori bought a coffee over on buymeacoffee.com/JLP Talk. Hey, Jesse, my answer to the BQ.
How do you trust God?
I thought I trusted God, but I haven't let go and let him take over completely. I keep listening to evil. If I trusted God with all my heart, I would just let go and surrender everything to him.
So is she saying she does not trust God?
I think that's what she's saying.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'll put my 2 cents in on Sunday.
Lin Yen Shin says, we are the black and slow. Lower your sense and surrender your lives. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service our inferiority complex.
Amazing. Nice.
Excellent. Yet Chin.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Best what cornerstone over on Cash App, Bond JLP Cash App. Best show and church on this side of heaven.
Amazing. Thank you, and thanks for your support, helping us to help others. I appreciate it.
Forgive your mama bought a coffee. What exactly does it mean to be in the fallen state? Peace and love, y'all.
To be lost in the wilderness of your imagination. Amazing. Turned away from the Father. Amazing. Good question. Thank you.
Gregatron, Jesse, you are wrong about this friendship thing. Friendship does exist. I consider the experts and some people in the chat as my friends. I don't want anything from them. You guys are my friends because we're fellowship, and I learn from y'all. The word friend isn't like racism and all the isms. You can say any word doesn't exist, has no meaning, but or it's not real, but people can be friends without wanting anything. Bill Lockwood, prime example. Sorry, Hake, not pithy.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gregatron.
Yeah.
Kayla, may I answer the biblical question?
How do you trust God?
I trust God by letting go. Thank you, Jesse and Bond, and have a wonderful day.
Amazing. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Sion, Jesse, good morning. I love your coffee. Great taste. Wakes me up soon as I opened it. It smells amazing. I will do a review. I have a question. When dating somebody, you're courting each other for marriage and don't worry about finances providing and they don't mind living together outside of marriage. Is that wasting time?
Repeat the question.
Is it wasting time to live together outside of marriage?
Yeah. Yes.
Eggs might be scrambled in the process, and at the end of the day, marriage is having a family, right?
What?
Eggs might be so scrambled in the process.
So the question is it a waste of time to be living together without marriage, right?
Right.
Yes. And then there's a second part to the question?
At the end of the day, marriage is having a family, right?
Yeah, if you want to have kids, yes. The only reason, I'm not quite understanding the question, Sion. You can call me and make it clear, but only reason to get married if you want to have children. Other than that, there's no other reason to get married. Amazing.
I think she's English as a second language.
Oh, because she's from Africa, huh?
Right.
All the way from Africa. All the way from Africa. I see.
Except she doesn't have an accent.
How you know?
Because she's called in before.
Oh.
To both Hake and JLP, by the way.
Right.
I'll have you know.
Nice.
And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Africa right now. Africa right now. Africa right now. From
all the way from Africa. Thank you.
Nice.
Let me go to Francis. Francie after this break. We're at a break already. Callers, hold on. Let me take a top of the hour break. 2 more hours to go. Country Western Tuesday. The hate news, not the fake news, is coming now, and I'll be back in a moment. Thank you for calling and thanks for holding. How have you been helped by the show?
I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing the slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought, because you're not your thoughts. If you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free, just like that, at an instant. Bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing. mass layoffs at Southwest Airlines. I'm
just holding the gun because he has the gun. It has nothing to do with Southwest or the employees. We wish them all well. And Delta plane crash and it went upside down. You saw part of the clip, and we got that ironed out, and we'll show the clip, in this coming hour on the Jason Lee Peterson Show. And U.S.-Russia talks, I'm excited about that. Zelensky's in the dark, and he's kind of plans to stay in the dark because he's being stubborn, I think, my opinion. I don't know. And I've started to like Zelensky, too. But anyway, and a little Doge versus IRS mess. The people are pretending like they want their privacy. This is the end of hour one of the Jason Lee Peterson Show. It's Country and Western Tuesday, February 18th, AD 2025. There is one line open. You can call in right now during Hake News, Not Fake News, and JLP will be right back to your calls, okay? Call Me Nonsense Network, CNN reports Southwest Airlines said they will cut 15%. Of their corporate staff. I don't know what corporate means, as opposed to regular staff. I don't know if there is any difference. But anyway, around 1,750 people. The first mass layoffs in the company's history. The shakeup comes after a chaotic few years for the low fare carrier. I've heard that the higher fare carriers are doing much better than the cheapos. Spirit Airlines has had problems earlier, I think. Lackluster earnings and operational meltdowns that caused thousands of canceled flights. Terrible. There was a whole lot of overreaction to the China virus. There was the all kinds of mess. Crooked Joe Biden, faint lame-o world so-called leaders. Anyway, Delta plane crash, at least 18 people injured. Some quite seriously, some critically. After a Delta Airlines flight, a smaller plane, I don't know if littler is a word, crashed on the runway at Toronto Pearson International Airport in Canada while attempting to land on Monday. They did end up landing. It was kind of like I wonder if Anchor Baby was flying that plane. No, he's learned better. He's like, Google, how do I get off my back? The passenger plane, 80 people aboard, from Minneapolis, made a hard landing in snowy conditions and ended up upside down on its back, if you will, but on its top, really. What, like a turtle. One of the wings was shorn off. And those things, don't the wings have the gasoline? It's not gasoline, jet fuel. And one of the guys said, I smelled jet fuel. I don't know how he recognized the smell of jet fuel, but maybe it has a distinctive smell, and I would know it if I smelled it, perhaps. Spitting out a huge fireball and leaving passengers hanging like bats in their seats. You know, bats hang upside down. Whew. Quote, everyone on board was evacuated safely. None of the injuries appeared life-threatening, so said officials. Investigation underway to determine the cause of the crash. Maybe they should have salted the runway. You know how you salt the roads? But I don't know. And U.S.-Russia talks. U.S. and Russian officials meeting today in Saudi Arabia for initial talks to end the war in the Ukraine as President Donald J. Trump, our greatest, pushes for a deal. Ukraine's president, not a Christian, but he's a nice guy, maybe. Volodymyr Zelensky said his government, quote, knew nothing about the talks, knew nothing about it, and would not participate, refused. Officials say if they wouldn't participate. Officials say if the preliminary discussions between senior Trump administration officials and their Russian counterparts are successful, they'll work toward arranging a meeting between Trump and Putin, part of the two out of the three of the dream team. That's Russian President Vladimir Putin. And that could progress quickly, potentially culminating in a summit in Saudi Arabia within the coming month. That's cool. I think it's cool. Anyway, Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, Doge, pressing forward government cuts as they're facing legal challenges. IRS, there's drama about information on people from the IRS. Give me a break. I don't care. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP. We'll be right back.
glad to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show already. What the? You can get involved by calling 888-773-773-888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. And my biblical question for this week, and it's a doozy, and the biblical question to encourage those who want to overcome their misery, those who want to overcome their hell, is for you to encourage you to work on yourself, know thyself. It's not for everybody. Most people love their misery. They don't want out. How do you trust God? How do you trust God? How? Amazing, huh? You can, if you're busy running around, you can listen to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. That's 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday. And every Tuesday is and will always be Country and Western Tuesday. Bring back, oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to me. What dog? Who let the dogs out? Amazing. Amazing. Welcome. So listen, callers, and to the super chatter, I have a guest, and I will be getting to your calls here in a minute. I have with me someone who finally, in my opinion, finally showed real love to the blacks after 70 years. Somebody really... You know what? They showed love to the blacks. They were honest with them because they care. And most people are afraid to tell the truth to the blacks, to show them love. Robert Darby is an award-winning actor, screenwriter, director, producer, and jazz vocalist. His new song, The House I Live In, is available now on music streaming platforms. I support by following him on Robert Darby on Instagram and Robert John Darby on X. Robert, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Pastor. I'm a fan of yours and watched you for years, and I'm honored to be on your show, and I appreciate it, especially since the firestorm my ex-tweet has considerably caused.
What a mess. You finally showed love. And some of the people who hate love, who hate the truth, are going after you. It does, I understand good versus evil, so I understand it. How do you feel about, what do you, Well, first, let me play what you said for those who have not seen it yet. Here is Robert Darby's recent comment on Kendrick Lamar Super Bowl halftime show. Watch this.
Dear fellow Americans, just my quick little rant on this halftime nonsense. I mean, come on, stop with the ghetto crap. I'm done with the ghetto. I've had it up to here with ghetto. I know they want to say rap is this and rap is the streets and rap is the current and rap is the that. Look at jazz, black and jazz blues artists. Give me the Count Basie band. Give me Duke Ellington's band. Give me the history. Give me jazz. You want to go black? Go art. Enough with the garbage. Enough with bringing these kids down into the garbage. Like that's the cool thing to do and this and that. No, those gentlemen that created an art form, a gorgeous art form, those jazz artists, let's propagate that in America. Enough with this bull. Who in the NFL hired this act? And Sam Jackson monkeying around. I mean, that's, I'm sorry. It just repulsed me.
Amazing. That's love, folks. If you want to know what love is, that's it. What really just drove you to the point that you wanted to speak out about it in such a public way, Robert?
Well, I grew up as a kid in the 1950s, and Italian home, immigrant family from Sicily and Naples. And I know very strongly the prejudice that the Italian-American community had in the beginning and the turn of the 19th century. And I understood the struggle, the civil rights struggle. I lived through that. There was never my family, we never had any. There was no racist bone in my body, and I'm being called a racist because of my comment.
Yeah.
And to qualify some of that, I when I saw the halftime show, I says, here we are, the biggest platform in the world. We could bring unity. We're in New Orleans. And I didn't know Kendrick Lamar. Even my son knew him. My son, after my rant, said, Dad, this guy, and he sent me some of these. He says, listen to this, Dad, and listen to that. And my younger daughter, they knew him. I did not know Kendrick Lamar. I could not understand any of the lyric.
Right, me either.
And all I saw was Sam Jackson saying some stuff like this. And the and then I saw on the stage there was no representation of America.
Right.
There was I don't want to say that because now I'll get killed on that.
But no. You were right about that.
There was no unity, yeah. Unifying message for me.
Yeah.
Now, since then, I have to say, Pastor, that many people have reached out to me, some with hatred and some I've responded to, and some have understood as a teachable moment for myself and for them. And I've communicated with some of them. One guy, a gentleman called Radio Blitz, who's very heavy into rap, we had an hour and a half conversation about the rap world and the importance of it for them. But I grew up, as I said, in the 50s. I grew up born in Astoria, Queens, and grew up on Long Island, Dix Hills. 2 miles from my house, John Coltrane lived. John Coltrane.
Amazing.
A giant.
Yeah.
And you know, my school, it was Candlewood Junior High School, but they wanted us to learn instruments. Learn a musical instrument. And I've had this conversation with Quincy Jones. Why isn't jazz, one of the greatest art forms, not taught in schools? Because it could have a history in a positive way. Because those artists went through struggle, but they spoke through their instruments. And you could be black and white, and you might be saying whatever you want to say, but yet there is the beauty of communication. And here, I unmistakably looked at it as divisive and that was my opinion.
You know, when you mentioned that, I saw it. It reminded me of the good old days of when boys were boys and men were men, and performers, jazz and soul music. It was so much classier than what's happening today. And the people would dress for it. They would train themselves to perform with class. And it didn't matter where they were on Ed Sullivan's show or they were performing in New York. it was always classy, and anyone that went to see it or they saw it on TV, they would appreciate it because it wasn't about being black or white. It was about being your best. It was about class. And blacks have lost that class over the last 70 years because they have lost control of their own lives. And they are listening to these so-called black leaders and all this other mess going on, that they have lost the class in life. Even James, the Samuel L. Jackson, it looked like he's too old for that he would have participated in that mess along with the younger people. It looked like he would have said, no, let's do it in a better way. This is for the world to see. It's about uniting with America. But even he was out of order on that. And I'm like, at what age do you grow up? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was quite, you know, I used to have a friend of mine, Willie Bobo, one of the greatest timbali players with Santa Margarita and all those great, great jazz musician. And he used to come to my house when I lived in California in Marina Del Rey at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd cook Italian, he'd cook soul food.
Nice.
And he used to say, is there a message in the ravioli? And I used to say, is there a message in the collard greens? So when I said, is there a message in the collard greens in my tweet, that was taken out of context and not understood. And what you say is absolutely right. Those jazz, Count Basie.
Yeah.
Count Basie, who grew up in Queens, another giant where I was born in Queens. These are the guys I looked up to that brought me into jazz, along with Frank Sinatra,
yeah,
who's the first artist to fight against anti-Semitism and racial bigotry. And they wanted to be dressed immaculately.
Yep.
And they said, if you look the best, you're going to play the best. And that's what my message was. Let's lift up all, because even in the white community, kids have been, you know, dragged down,
yes,
in whatever way they want. You know, it's not just a black thing.
Right.
It's a white thing. So I say lift it up. And how come there's never been a film about one of the greatest American composers, Duke Ellington? Why? Why? If I was black, Pastor, I would be doing a film developing about Duke Ellington and the struggle and the history of jazz and that whole communication. Why? Why are we not uplifting these artists? And they say, well, it's passé and it's niche. No, it's not niche.
No, it's not. The reason they don't do it because they don't want, when you are angry and when you feel like a victim, when you refuse to be your best in life, the people who are encouraging that, they want you down and out so they can use you for personal gain, for money, for power, for votes, or whatever, right? And so over the last 70 years, I'm sure you already know this, I'm saying it for people who might not realize it, over the last 70 years, they have the so-called black leadership, the media, and all, they have only used blacks for votes and things like that. They have never tried to encourage them. We all know that rap music and crap music, and it has done nothing but brought the black society, quote unquote, down over the years. It has not made them better. And they use excuses like, oh, well, that's the black situation, or that's how black people live. That's not an excuse to play crap music. Where's the real talent that there used to be in black America? Black America used to have real talent in the good old days.
Yes. I mean, again, you couldn't find better musicians.
Right.
You couldn't find, but now having dialogue with some, like I told you, my friend Radio Blitz, who became a friend, and a couple of other people's,
right,
Mike Harvey, that reached out to me, not with hatred, with communication. Because communication is good, and I think it was an important dialogue to have in the country. I'd like jazz to be taught in our high schools,
yeah,
in the elementary schools, like when I grew up. Now, they explained to me the genesis, and I understood it, the genesis of jazz coming from the streets, and it didn't need money, it didn't need music. These kids could just, with what they had, create something. And then I go back to, but back in the jazz days, they didn't have either.
Right.
You know, I remember, I think, yeah, it was Count Basie. His father was more important for Count Basie to learn piano than anything else. And, you know, I say, again, and I didn't know Kendrick Lamar won a Pulitzer Prize, but so did a guy named Walter Duranty won a Pulitzer Prize for the New York Times, you know. And but it just is, it was done out of concern, because I went into those communities with Quincy Jones because of John Hope Bryant when he had Operation Hope in Los Angeles. And Pastor, Operation Hope was not just civil rights, but silver rights. And we would go into the inner cities and talk to kids in classes, telling them the importance of understanding math and how it's silver rights, how by bettering yourself and understanding yourself through education, you can lift yourself up. I did that as a kid, in Los Angeles for a couple of years with John Hope Bryant. And so I understood, I don't understand because, you know, I got so many comments saying, you don't understand where we come from or what our struggle was. I only know it from books. I know it from experience watching it on the thing. But I understand there's been, and you can go all over the world and you could say there's grievances all over the world.
Right.
When do we stop? When do we stop with the grievance?
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, whenever the blacks say, oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. I'm like, don't understand what? Whenever there was a time when we all didn't have to work hard for what we wanted in life, when did we not have to make sacrifices for what we wanted? When did that happen? I mean, even I grew up on a plantation down in Alabama under the Jim Crow law. I remember the colors on this side, the white people on this side, right? But not one time do I ever remember anyone telling us we need to blame the white folks. We can't make it. The white man is trying to hold it back. And black people in those days, they respect themselves. They respect others. We work hard. We treated people the way we would like to be treated. We did our best in the all-black school. Those who wanted to go to college, they went to college. Those who didn't, they found a job. There's no such thing as you don't understand my struggle. That's another made-up lie to cause blacks to accept the idea of being victims. It's another made-up lie. It's not true, man, at all. All races, no matter who you are and where you are, if you want to, whatever you want out of life, you got to work for it. You got to carry yourself in a certain way. You got to pull yourself up and get what you want in life. I wouldn't accept that idea, you don't understand my struggle. That's another made-up lie.
Yeah, if we continue to victimized, and I'm very sympathetic to everyone's struggle. You know, look, in 1886, there were more lynchings in one day of Italians, Sicilians, in New Orleans than anywhere else.
Nice.
That was 1886, just one day. Yeah. I'm not saying overall.
Right.
And in 1906, the New York Times called the Italian, very prejudiced statement, racist statement against the Italian, Sicilian population. And so people have been struggling. My dad worked three jobs, as many people did. You know, I saw him go from one job, come home, eat, left for the next job, and then worked on the weekend in the church.
Yes.
And did whatever he could to give us a good education and you know, that work ethic.
That's right.
I had a lemonade stand at 12 years old, you know, on Deer Park Avenue. I'm sure, you know, anyway, it's. Everyone has a struggle, but if I don't like the victim mentality.
Me either.
I tell my kids that.
Me too. Yeah. I don't like it at all. I had to, when I was growing up, have you ever picked cotton, Robert?
No, I have not.
You have not lived until you pick cotton. I would have to come home from school, take off my school clothes, go right to the cotton field, or go and break the soil to plant new crop. And in the morning before I went to school, I would have to go out to the barns, get the cows, bring them in, milk the cows, go back home and get ready to catch the school bus at 7 a.m. I don't want to hear this thing. I've been struggling. But what I want to ask, when those guys, that's whoever amazing. Call you about what you said, and they did you accept what they said about rap music or whatever?
I understood. I didn't necessarily accept it. I understood it, and I'm I'm sure there was some, because what they were saying was that Lamar, Kendall Lamar, was not a street. There's different, from what I've understood now, you had the Bronx, you had the Compton, you had the other areas, you had different things. And I am open to understanding and to have dialogue, even if I disagree. And that was the thing, because how do we move anyone forward? I have to say, and you know, the guys devoted their lives to rap, some of them. So that's why I'm not going to like say, hey, but the,
but why would that be? Why would that be an excuse to put that crap on TV at that particular time? And why that doesn't, that's not an excuse for whatever his name, Lamar, and Samuel L. Jackson and others to put that crap on at that time.
That's what,
do the crap later.
Yeah, that, well, it was amazing to me that they would use that platform.
Yeah.
But what, and I've gotten copious amounts from the black community, really, from a lot of women too that are upset of what I said, because they say you missed the point, because when Samuel Jackson said, he said a statement, I guess, as Uncle Sam, that they're not going to get it, you know what I mean? And then I said, but what about the lyric about they not like us?
Right.
That's right in our face. Well, they said, well, is he referring to Drake and pedophilia? I said, listen, nobody could hear the lyric. All I heard was they not like us, and every black person creating the flag and then splitting the flag up and the optics of that. And they're saying, well, there's so much behind this. There's a video game behind it, and there's so much symbolism. Well, my little mind doesn't get it.
My little mind,
and maybe it's my age, but my little mind gets division. And I don't want division in this country anymore. I'm sick of it. And
me
that's
too.
That's what my thing was, Pastor.
And it was division. You're absolutely right about that. It was implying that white people are not like us, blacks. They were implying that. That's what Jackson was saying, in my opinion, and that's what they were trying to say. It's time out for that. It really just time out for that. And I love the fact that you spoke up about it. You showed love when you made that video and made those statements. We need
more. It came
more
out of love.
Yeah. No, it was
it came out of love, because the pandering is, I'm sick of the pandering as well, Pastor.
Absolutely. And you can call me Jesse. What the?
Okay, Jesse.
That was love. And I wanted you to know I really, really appreciate the fact that you, somebody non-black, which blacks don't hear a lot, that you finally showed love to the blacks by being honest with them in such a big way.
I appreciate you. Thank you.
I want to know, before we run here, what's wrong with the blacks that they won't overcome anger? At what point? We've given them everything they have asked for. We gave them the Civil Rights Movement, which was the worst thing other than abortion that ever happened to the blacks, the Civil Rights Movement. It should have never happened. Blacks have never returned to normalcy since the Civil Rights Movement. We've given them reparations, affirmative action, reparation, DEI. We let them into white schools and they don't have to qualify. We give them welfare. We gave them the white women. What's wrong with them that they won't drop the anger and take responsibility for their own life, their own lives?
I think you have a political class that does it on purpose. And it starts with education, and it starts with a certain drumbeat. Look, there were wounds. Of course there were wounds. But the wounds were healing. And I've seen over the last several decades razor blades to those wounds to make them deeper and make them open up again and ooze and bleed. And that was unfortunate, because we were all healing as a nation and as a people together.
Yeah.
And I have to say, sometimes I see, and I get a lot of love. I've gotten a lot of love from the black community as an actor. Much respect. Now, as this thing is taken off.
Where is the love?
it's different. But I think it has to do with a political class and a strategy, a strategic political message, because Marxism, as we know, infiltrated America from the 1920s and 1930s, the 1940s. They infiltrated.
Yeah,
I've done a lot of research on this.
Yeah.
And they, and race was the initial hot button topic, that to be able to split us apart, because then you have people with grievance. And look, there's grievance. And I understand, you know, I understand. Somebody told me, and I've heard about that, the Black Wall Street thing. I don't know all the history of that issue. And I understand the incarceration of different things that happened wrongly. But as we were moving forward, and again, when I was a kid and I watched on TV the funeral of Martin Luther King, and I saw two mules pulling a rickety wagon, and in that was a pine box. And in that pine box was the totality of the human struggle. And behind that box and those mules were a sea of people, all colors and races, walking with it. We're going to either pull it apart or we're going to pull it together. And recently you see there's a certain kind of, I don't think people are revering Martin Luther King as they should have, as they continue to have. He seems to, I don't know if you feel the same thing, that there's been criticism against him sometimes.
Yeah, when I saw the box, at the time I was young, but when I reflect on the mules pulling the box, I realize they are taking a socialist to his grave. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of the worst things that ever happened to the blacks. Blacks were not socialists until they started listening to Martin Luther King and Jesse Jackson and all those people. They took control of the blacks and became their leaders by telling the blacks what they needed and who was holding them back, and they can't make it. And they set themselves up as being leaders of the blacks. And blacks did not understand that Martin Luther King Jr. and those people were socialists. And they have been using the blacks ever since for their own personal gain. Black people were doing just fine before the Civil Rights Movement.
Interesting. You know, Martin Luther King was initially very, very supportive of Nixon. They were friends.
He used to be Republican.
Yes. Now, there was something that happened.
Yes.
I heard a story one time that JFK was driving in D.C., and I forget who was in the car with him. May have been Pierre Salinger or someone like that. And they saw someone in the street, and they got him in the car. And they convinced JFK to do something that then switched the allegiance of Martin Luther King to Kennedy.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a story there. Have your research team try to find that.
Yeah,
it was very riveting. Yeah, I forget what that was, but it was. I didn't know he was a socialist.
He was a total socialist, a preaching socialist. He never meant. Maybe in the beginning, when he first started out, he never meant for black people to be free. He wanted them to be enslaved all the way up to today, and that's why even now you have all these black women. And liberal black men in government, all they ever cry is racism.
Yeah,
you trying to hold me back because you're racist. What in the world are they crying racist? They are in government now. What else do you want? When will you be free? When will you stop using that word? They use it to gain power and wealth. It's not real. It's for personal gain.
Yeah, we've seen that, and it's frustrating because it doesn't have to be.
Not at all. Robert,
it shouldn't be.
Let me take a quick break. I have two more questions for you.
And absolutely.
All right, hold on. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. Back in a moment.
You know, I'm 32 years old now, and I've been clinically depressed since I was 17 years old. And ever since I started listening to you a couple of months ago, bro, I don't even need to hear the word depression. I don't even care about that because that's not anything that I identify with anymore.
Nice.
I'm 100% cured. I'm 100% better because I've been listening to the Jesse Lee Peterson show. And I can't even begin to tell you how much I appreciate you. And I just can't even, you know, begin to tell you how much I really appreciate the things that you're doing for young men. Young men need to hear this. And young men need to know this message that you're delivering because it's important. It's vital to their lives, Jesse. I just wanted to let you know that, man.
That's amazing. I mean, you made my day, man. When I hear one soul has returned to the Father, it's like 1,000. It's better than silver and gold. So God bless you, man. Okay, folks, welcome back. 888-773-7773-888-77-JESSE. I'm talking to Robert Davi. He's an award-winning actor, screenwriter, director, producer, and jazz vocalist. Brand new song. I want you guys to check it out. The House I Live In is available on music streaming platform. So go to Robert Davi on Instagram, and Robert John Davi on X. Robert, when will the blacks stop being angry? Do you think that's ever going to happen where they drop the anger and just live and treat everybody the way they would like to be treated? Come back to that?
There's many that aren't, but many that are. And I think until there is a spiritual mindset, you know, Al Sharpton, Maxine Waters, Hakeem Jeffries, the black leadership, until they have a spiritual shift and approach this moment with love and not with divisiveness.
Yeah.
They can have a point of view, I understand that. But the point of view becomes couched in a revolutionary style of attack. You know, Trump, who is a unique political figure.
The Great White Hope.
Is amazing.
Amazing.
think of and this guy here, they threw everything at Donald Trump.
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah.
And he will go anywhere. He'll talk to anyone. And he doesn't hold that, you know, he might have his thoughts on stuff. Absolutely.
Right.
But you don't see hatred coming from them.
Right.
I never see in his speeches hatred. I see a reality. I see something that he's disdaining, a certain kind of way the country has gone and the government has gone in our country. And I've noticed, going back to the anger, I was at a place, a restaurant, and I kibitz with people and people recognize me and I'm very warm and open. And there was a black family and some of the other families were there. Hey, can we have a bit? Blah, blah, blah. And there was a little kid, and I was there with my family, my little 5-year-old and my 18-year-old, my wife. I was walking by to go to the restroom, and I saw the little kid with his pizza. Oh, is that pizza delicious? Can I have a taste? You know, just as a friendly.
Right.
And the father says, don't start that shit here.
Whoa.
It was a hostile thing toward me. And I don't know if he knew who I was or not, but it was very, very strange. Because I mean, it was around them. The mother was there. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I've noticed in some instances there is hostilities, and I'm sure the black community has felt it from white people. You know, there has been hostilities, and now it seems to be a tit for tat. I don't know. I don't know if it's tit for tat.
What?
There's something that continues, like you say. Let's stop the racism.
Yes.
Let's stop the hatred.
You know, white people are becoming or have become tit at the blacks because they're sick of them. They're tired of the blacks begging and blaming, and they have done everything the blacks wanted over the last 70 years or so. At what point will you say, okay, it's enough? I appreciate you giving it to me, working with me, whether it's right or wrong, but thank you. White people tick with the blacks because they're sick of them. Every time they disagree, they cry racism. Every time you give the blacks a job, and if the blacks don't show up or don't work as hard or do whatever, and the boss have to let them go, they cry racism and try to sue them. Who want to put up with that, Robert?
I know. And a lot of times there's attitudes.
Yes.
There is attitude. There is attitude. And that's engendered. I don't blame the black people. I blame the leadership. And we've been talking to the leadership for years. I've been mentioning things that that they should a change in style. You know, it's like reparations. Okay, that's a hot topic. My family was in Sicily and Naples. We weren't around during slavery.
Right.
So reparations for something that happened and the you know, I understand there's different injustices. I recently heard, I don't know if this is true, Jesse, but the what is it, 100 acres and a mule or 40 acres and a mule?
They're still waiting for it, Robert, and we've given it to them over and over again.
But what somebody told me, and I don't know if this is true, that if a family member got those 40 acres or whatever it was, and someone wanted to sell their little portion, there was a law that said if you sold that portion, you'd lose all of it. Now, I don't know if that's true or
not. I've never heard anything like that either.
Okay, so I don't know if it's true. They should research it, because that's another thing that is somebody putting out grievances and creating a narrative to make us all go, you know. Now, I knew it.
They are doing that, Robert.
Yeah.
They are doing that. I remember you mentioned the Wall Street story about Black Wall Street.
Yes.
I want you, when you get a chance, I want you to check out Uncle Tom, too. And Uncle Tom, and it lays it all out about the civil rights.
Larry Elders?
Yeah, with Larry Elders.
Okay, he's in a friend.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I haven't seen it.
Check it out. It's going to lay it all out. What you don't know, and what they don't tell black people or anyone, that Black Wall Street incident happened because some black people and some white people had a fight. They started fighting with each other about something nonsense, right? And it just broke out into a big fight. But what happened when the rioting itself was over, Black Wall Street was rebuilt. The black people didn't sit around and complain and, oh, poor me, I need reparations now. They rebuilt Black Wall Street, and it boomed for a long time. You don't hear that part because they want you to think, for no reason, white people just went in there and destroyed Black Wall Street because they want to keep the white man, black man down. It's not true. They leave those parts out because they want to manipulate the mind.
That's what's happening then.
Absolutely. Yeah. And another thing you might not be aware of, and you may, before the Civil Rights Movement, black people didn't have leaders. We had our fathers and mothers. We had our grandparents. And we didn't have to taught to be civil. We were taught that by examples from our parents and at school and places like that. We didn't need someone to come in and give us a talk telling how to act. That all changed with the Civil Rights Movement when they became the leader of the people and told them how to think, who to love, who not to love, how to treat others. And black people just lost self-control because they turned it over to someone else. And that's what Maxine Waters and others, Al Sharpton, they don't want to let go of that power, so-called power. They don't want racism to disappear. How would they use the blacks if they didn't make them believe that racism existed? It's a lie, but it's for control, Robert.
Mm-hmm. You know, there was the, it's interesting on the, that Uncle Tom thing. There's, what was the film? There was another film that I was going to reference. I had a thought and I lost it. It was an important thought. Hopefully I'll get it back. But the engendered, how would you say, the manipulation.
Yes.
The continued manipulation that continues on and on and on and on.
Yep.
And not being able to stop that and see that. Thomas Sowell, I've asked many of the people that have criticized me, have you read Thomas Sowell?
Right.
Nobody had.
Right.
And they did an experiment, he said, in Germany, where you had white military guys and black military guys, and they married German women, and they lived in Germany. and the children, the white children and the black children, or black-white children, had no difference in education, no difference in their intelligence. But in America, there's a different thing that happens. That was an interesting study that he mentioned in one of his speeches, one of his talks. Yeah, isn't that interesting?
It is very interesting. And you, with Thomas Sowell and others, the black, so-called black leadership, they don't want the blacks to know about those guys. They don't want them to know about Walter Williams. They don't want them to know about Justice Clarence Thomas.
Yes.
Or Booker T. Washington, because those men are independent, conservative men, and they want the blacks to be free and get along as much as possible with anyone, stop blaming. But the media and the so-called black leadership have deliberately kept those men away.
They denigrate them.
Yes.
They denigrate them and call them racist and anti-this and anti-that.
Uncle Tom and all that.
I'm sure you've been the subject of a lot of unjust treatment.
I've been called every name in the book and then some.
Yeah.
Names I've never heard, but it doesn't bother me at all. I never think about what others think about me. It doesn't even cross my mind.
That's the power of having the Lord inside, right?
It doesn't even cross my mind. I can care less because I understand. I do want to ask, because of time, are you a Christian?
Catholic.
Catholic. And do you have perfect peace?
Perfect peace?
Yes.
Perfect peace. I have, look, I've, let me put it this way. My parents died young, 55 and 56 years old.
Amazing.
I had a 20-year-old sister who was murdered by her ex-boyfriend. My grandfather was murdered by a guy in Astoria, Queens. My ex had a bad heroin problem. A couple of my kids had some issues. I have eight all told.
Nice.
The rest are good, yes. And I have prayer and my connection to God. When I was 16, 15, I was cured by a stigmatist, Padre Pio, from San Giovanni Rotonda in Foggia, Italy. He was a Franciscan priest monk, a Capuchin monk. And it's a long story where the rosaries that were blessed by him were given to me, and he prayed for me. And the doctor said, if I knew your son would be in this shape, I was in the hospital a week ago, I'd say only a miracle to my mother, Mary. Grew up in a very religious household. And am I at peace? I'm a human being, so I can get derailed at times. But basically, I believe through prayer and through my faith, I have peace.
And do you have perfect peace?
Perfect peace is, I don't know.
What?
I've never been asked that question, perfect peace. I think I like a little bit of turmoil.
you like a little hell in your life?
No, I don't want any hell.
And so do you want perfect peace?
Of course.
And so you do want it, and if you knew that it was possible to have it, would you accept it?
Of course, accepting peace. Absolutely.
Well, may I tell you how to have perfect peace? But first, let me ask before I say this. When these people call you racist for loving the blacks and telling them the truth recently, when they call you racist, what do you think about that, and how do you feel about the name calling?
Well, first off, I know that I'm not to my bones, you know, because, and I don't even want to tell them, you know, my daughter dated black boys. My son, you know, I mean, I never even conceived, oh, you can't. No, that's not in my lexicon.
Right on.
We had them at my house. When I was growing up, my dad, there was no, I don't think of race. I never thought of race. And now they make you think of race.
Right.
Now this current world makes you go, my God.
Yeah.
You know?
What a mess. And so if I told you how to have perfect peace, you think you would accept it?
I would hope to.
Drop your anger.
You're right.
Drop the anger.
You're right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Why don't you, and why haven't you dropped your anger? Why are you holding on to that?
You know, part of it is, I guess, an Italian fun thing. I don't know. You know, I was, they said that, you know, I played, one of the brothers who responded to my rap thing about the ghetto did a whole thing about, well, you played these mafia figures, these Italian mafia figures about the ghetto and did better, you know. And I says, and I understood that. I understood that aspect. I says, but I never played, I turned down the Sopranos because it was not, I played historical mob figures. And I tried to, and it was part of the Italian culture. I understood that. You know what I mean? It was part of what was the lexicon of the Italian culture. And I looked like I look, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I played an Orthodox Jew. I played a Palestinian. I played, the only thing I've never played is a black man.
If you played a black man, they would really be going after you. They'll call you racist. They'll call you everything. Yeah. But Robert, will you drop your anger?
I will absolutely. I've been looking at that. Yes.
And do you know how to drop it? You can be free right now.
All right, I'm here.
You got to forgive your mother. You became like what you hate when you were a little kid and you didn't know it. She turned you away from your father. And she made you have false sympathy for her by playing victim when she was not a victim. And you identified with her. And the anger you have came from resenting her. Forgive her. She did her best. Her mother screwed her up. And when you apologize for resenting her, God will forgive you and give you perfect peace.
Something to deeply think about.
And you have... Yeah. You can have perfect, don't let anyone tell you that you cannot have perfect peace on earth. Christ came that we may have peace and perfect peace, but you got to drop the anger because the anger separates you from God. Anyone that has anger will never know God. You're separated from him.
You're right.
So will you forgive your mother?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And forgive your father for not protecting you from her. He married his mama, so he didn't know how to deal with you. He loved you. He just didn't know how to deal with your mother.
Well, my dad was a guy that it was funny that you say that dynamic. Because as a kid, you know, my dad was a World War II veteran. His ship was torpedoed. He probably had PTSD.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I was a loudmouth kid. I was a kid. And I never for one second didn't think they loved me, nor did I feel victimized. But he would punch me. Yeah. I would get beatings. I would get an ass whipping, as they say. And I never once resented it or anything
me
like
either.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one time he said, "You're the whipping boy," because if I was doing something, he would never hit my mother, but he would, you know, she would egg him on, and then I would get the punishment of that.
Yeah. Well, but one of the reasons, is he still living?
No, they died at 55 and 56 years old.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. One of the reasons that he would whoop you because you had identified with your mother, and so dealing with you was like dealing with his wife, your mother, right? And because you had become one with her, so you turned against him because you identified with your mother, not understanding that she was against your father, not for him.
Mm-hmm. There's very interesting psychic truth to that in ways.
What, you know, a mess, huh?
Yeah. That's funny. Look at you. You're going right in there like a surgeon.
And that's what's wrong with the blacks, Robert. It's not about race. It's not about racism. It's not about the white man or the Jewish man or anyone. It's about the hatred that they have for their mothers. They have, and then my grandmother, all human beings, not just blacks, but every human being on earth, they got to forgive their mothers who turned them away from their fathers, because when you turn away from your earthly father, you're turned away from God. You can't hate the son and expect to get to the father. And your earthly father is the son of God, whether he obeyed her or not. And the mothers hate the fathers, and they turn the children away. And they make you identify with them, and that's where the problem is. So forgive your mother. Hey, mother, now that she's dead, just realize, as you can't help yourself with the anger thing, she can help herself. She did the best she could. Forgive her, and God will forgive you and make you free. I'm telling you.
Yeah, no, I see that. I see the dynamic from a lens, a far lens, because she was a daughter, the only daughter in an Italian family of six men.
Wow.
Six brothers.
Yeah.
And she was always put last because, and she had a lot of ability, but she was always put last because it was about the boys at that time of the generation.
Right.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I can see a lot of that falls into place.
Well, now that you can see it, it's God who is allowing you to see it. And that's what it means to repent, to admit that you're angry. Mm-hmm. Anger is hatred, right? And mm-hmm. when you can admit in your heart that you're angry and that you're wrong for being angry, God will forgive you. Because then you stop judging. You won't judge your mother. You won't judge your father. You won't judge yourself. You'll speak up, but you will not judge. So you got to mm-hmm. forgive, Robert.
I will. With your help. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. It's amazing meeting in person and talking to you.
And I hope we do get together sometime and share a meal.
I do too. Let me know. Yeah. Tell the folks how to get your books, how to get your everything, your songs and everything.
Man, they just go to Amazon and you can get films I directed called one called The Dukes. Me and Chaz Palminteri, I directed and wrote that. It's called The Dukes. You can find that somewhere on iTunes or Amazon. And then I've got, you know, my album, Dobby Sings Sinatra. Also, they can find, right now, I put it on X for free, the film I directed, My Son Hunter, about Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. I don't know if you know that.
I heard about the movie, but I didn't know you directed that.
I directed it when everyone said there was no laptop, and I got a lot of hate. because they said what a lie this movie is, and now it's all proven to be true. But it's like the Wolf of Wall Street. I did it. It's a satirical piece. Epoch Times said a masterpiece, and I have a film, two films. I'm in Reagan. That's on the air right now. It's on Amazon Prime with Dennis Quaid. I play Leonid Brezhnev, leader of Soviet Union, and then I have a very important film called Bardejov, Bardejov, where I play an Orthodox Jew who saves over 300 girls from Auschwitz. True story from a 89-year-old Holocaust survivor. And it's a very, very, it's an independent film, but it's on Amazon Prime and very powerful.
Amazing. What? Amazing. Thank you, Robert.
Thank you.
We'll be talking soon. Let me know how the forgiveness thing go. And
I will.
You'll see, I promise you, if you do it,
you're
going to have perfect peace.
I will. I just didn't want to cry on air.
amazing. Thank you, man. We'll talk soon, all right?
All right, Jesse. Thank you.
And thank you for showing the blacks love. It's about time somebody shows it.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
God bless you, sir.
You too. Thank you. Amazing. 888-775-3773. Check him out, folks. Let me go to, who's I going to talk to and I went on break? Oh, they hung up, huh? Oh, yeah, they did. Look, let me take a break. I'm at the top of the hour, one more hour to go. When I come back, we're just moving calls and doing super chats, all right? I appreciate your patience. That was an amazing discussion. 888-775-3773. 888-77-JESSE. The hate news, not the fake news, but the hate news is coming in, and I'll be back in a moment.
I would say my head had been better back again, my familiar stand. Nothing more than a thought to.
We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session, If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven.
"14 dead, at least, amid those floods." I think we might have reported it yesterday. In America, you know, these storms, storm on Sunday and storms coming through, storms happening now probably. Watch out, people in America and elsewhere in the world. And the Mexico female president, she wants to sue Google over complying with Trump's Gulf of America renaming. But they're trying to accommodate Mexico and she's trying to sue? One of those typical suing types she's turning out to be. Not very Christian, if you ask me. I don't know if she is a Christian. She doesn't seem like one. Well, I've heard she's not. And a sob story over a fired park ranger family man. He was let go. He finally got his job as a park ranger. He's a federal employee, I guess. And he got let go, fired, amid these firings from Trump and Elon Musk. You know, cutting down the overgrown size of the government. He's going to have to figure something else out. He's tired of wiping the tears from his wife's eyes. He's having a kid or had a kid or something, and he doesn't know what to do next. You'll find a way, man. We're pulling for you. This is the end of hour two already of Country and Western Tuesday, the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is February 18th, AD 2025. The lines are full. You can call in every so often, though, just in case a line opens up. I'm doing both signals for phones, for both the boomers and Gen X and us older millennials, and then also the younger millennials and the Gen Z and Alpha and Beta. Shout out if any betas listen to the show. But anyway, it is Hake News, not Fake News, coming on Sense Network. Oh, by the way, great punchy TV episode yesterday. That was cool. The Hake Report is happening after JLP, then Joel Friday TV right after the Hake. That's me. And then after Joel Friday TV, that's he black, then is the American Anchor Baby. He survived that upside-down plane crash thing that he crashed. I'm kidding, it wasn't him. But he is Canadian, sort of, culturally. Okay, and then also, ladies, Women's Forum, third Thursday of the month, 7 p.m. this Thursday, the 20th of February, 7 p.m. at Bond in Los Angeles. You can go to rebuildingtheman.com/events. Nice. Call me Nonsense Network, CNN reports at least 14 people dead on the heels of the multi-state floods in parts of Ohio Valley, wherever that is, and the Mid-Atlantic. More than a month's worth of rain deluged. I like that word. Much of Kentucky in less than 24 hours. God's judgment? I'm kidding, but I don't know. Set the deadly flooding into motion. We just got hit by one of the most significant natural disasters we've seen in our lifetime, said Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear. I think he's a Democrat. Said on a Monday news conference, adding more than 340 roads closed in the state. Woof, that's disruptive, I think. Five flash flood emergencies issued in parts of Virginia, West Virginia, Mountain Mama, Tennessee over the weekend. The situation could unfold in more areas in the coming days as river levels continue to rise in impacted areas. Ooh. And Google, Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum, or Sheinbaum, I don't know, threatened to sue Google. People say white sue. I think it might be Jewish people who sue more. But I don't know. Over the switch from Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, saying the tech company overstepped when they changed the name of the entire body of water on Google Maps. Whatever. Including areas under Mexican and Cuban jurisdiction. People in Mexico continue to see the area listed as Gulf of Mexico. Other countries see both names, Gulf of America and Gulf of Mexico, just so they know. Sheinbaum previously stated in a civil lawsuit, or that a civil lawsuit could be on the table if the tech giant does not correct what she called an inaccurate designation. What a woman. Shout out. She noted that Mexico would wait for Google's response before moving forward with legal action. Go fight the cartels. Go fight crime, woman. Anyway, Brian Gibbs says he was heartbroken, and he says, quote, I'm tired of wiping away my wife's tears and reassuring that things will be okay for us, because he was fired among thousands of other federal probationary workers. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP Hour 3.
Understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show already. What the? You can get involved by calling 888-777-5373. 888-77-JESSE. Jesse, and my biblical question, how do you trust God? How do you trust God? How? I want to know. Don't you want to know how you say you trust him? How? Amazing, huh? We, if you're out and about working out in the gym or doing whatever it is you're doing, you can listen to the show. You can podcast, but you can listen on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on Talk Screen Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. And bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. It's Tuesday. It's the third hour of Tuesday. And every Tuesday is and will always be Country and Western Tuesday. Bring back, oh, bring back my country to me. Bring back my country to me. What dog? Who let the dogs out? Amazing. 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 888-77-JESSE. I want to go to the busy phones. Let me go to Brandy out of Hawaii. Brandy, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Morning, Jesse.
Hey, Brandy.
I'm calling to answer the biblical question.
And you're making noise in the background.
Oh, I'm trying to go outside so I can... Be quiet.
How do you trust God?
I let go.
So let me ask first, do you trust God?
Yes.
And how do you trust him?
Well, when you come so close to death and you're begging for your life, you kind of have no choice but to trust him.
And how do you do that? How do you do that?
I say my life's in your hands, and I just let go, and I give up.
And you let go of what?
Of trying to control everything.
And that's how you trust him?
Yeah, that's how I trust him.
Amazing.
I find when I don't trust him, I try to control everything around me, and it makes me more stressed. And finally, like, I've noticed that my whole life, I get so obsessed, like, with, like, trying to, like, our house was upside down at one time, like, the mortgage, and we were fighting to keep it and trying to get, what was it called?
Welfare.
It's where they, like, they fix your mortgage for you. I forget what it's called, but they, like, lower your payments so you can try to keep up.
Oh, okay.
And, so.
Like, refinance?
When. Kind of. It's a there was a name for it, but I can't remember it right off the.
Okay, but I understand what you're saying. Go ahead.
And I was stressed out trying to like get an attorney and figure everything out. That I finally just gave up, and right when I did, everything kind of just fell into place.
Nice.
I started getting calls, and I'm like stressing out, and I do that all the time. At least I used to, and I came so close to death having my son that I was in the hospital, and I told God, if you spare my life, I'll do whatever you want, and I give up. And it was a real hard fight, but I made it through it. He like let me live. But there was a time where I thought I could die any second.
Amazing.
Got necrotizing fasciitis having my son, and ate my whole lower stomach away.
Nice.
Where I was in toxic.
So you don't have
shock.
A stomach anymore?
My whole lower stomach was a huge hernia because it ate all my fascia.
And so you don't have it anymore?
Away. No.
So
I don't
now
have
you
a
can't
chunk
get,
of it.
So now you can't get fat, huh?
Well, they gave me kind of like a tummy tuck, like where they put mesh in.
They put mesh in?
Yeah. Yeah.
They put, what kind
I
of mesh?
I never knew.
What kind mesh, of mesh?
It hey? Holds your stomach.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like knitting. Oh, okay. I thought you said they put mesh
yeah,
in.
Yeah, they said that they've seen worse, I guess, gunshot wounds when they come in. A lot of times they have to put mesh in too because they blow like a lot of chunk of their, you know, abs away. I never even thought about it.
Oh, what a before. Mess.
But the things, the
what
things you
mess.
Learn when
you
go through hell.
You got mess in your stomach.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I appreciate you responding to the biblical question, and I'll put my little two cents in on Sunday. Thank you for that.
No worries. And also, I don't believe there's such thing as friends. I just wanted to comment on that guy.
And why you don't believe that?
Every time I have friends, they just use me and get what they want, and it feels like a lot of work. And I give up and kind of go into my own world where I just live my life and I stay away from people.
Nice. Amazing. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you so much. We'll talk
soon.
You.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now. Bye. Amazing. 888-775-3773. Jason, a first-time caller out of New York. Jason, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Jesse and crew, what the?
Amazing.
So I'm super excited to talk on the show. I did a counseling with you like maybe about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
I was living, my ex was living with me. I was a little bit miserable. That being part of the reason. Got her out. Now have more time to focus on myself. It's first thing I wanted to say is that we're all in this spiritual battle, and I know it can feel lonely sometimes because no one in your particular life might be going through the same thing or understand what you're focused on. I just want people to know that
everyone,
that we're not alone.
Everyone that you know are going through the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but only a few.
They're just not aware of it.
No, yeah. Only a few work on themselves because most people love their hell. They love their misery.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention, free will.
Okay.
So normally you say that we don't have free will, correct?
Right.
Yes. So right. God gives us free will, right?
No.
So basically how I see it, how what I've been noticing.
You believe
is
that you have free will?
No, I don't. Because oh. there's more involved than God. So God is involved, right? I mean God created us and he supposedly gives us free will, correct?
No.
But there's a lot of other things that are trying to not let us have free will, like the devil and influences in our life.
But Jason, I just can't tell if are you saying God did give you free will, that you do have free will, or you don't have free will?
I think that God gives us free will in the essence that he doesn't want to get involved in us, and he wants to leave it up to us. I think God's involvement is non-involvement in our life is the free will they're talking about. I think that we don't have free will in other ways when it comes to people and Satan's influence in our life.
What do you mean
overall,
by
overall, we don't have it because there is other factors in our life outside of God, but I don't think God gets involved. So I think on his side, we have free will from him.
I'm all confused.
So basically,
give me, because I'm black and slow, and because of time, give me yes and no's on just a couple of these. Do you okay. believe that we have free will?
Overall, no.
Yes
or
no?
But I do believe.
Overall, no.
Overall,
mean that you think we do.
Okay, so no, we don't. We don't.
And then what did you mean when you said, well, God gave us free will and he's not involved in our lives?
I believe he gives us free will from his involvement, as in if we want to be away from him or turn away from him, he won't pull us back. So in essence, God is technically giving us free will from him.
But God did not turn you away from him. You turned away from him as a kid and not realizing what you were doing at the time.
Yeah, because I had the free will to do so, because he gives me that.
Meaning what? That he didn't force you to stay with him?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's who he's not going to force anyone to love him. Either you turn to him or you don't. It's up to you. And that what you mean by free will?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically what really matters in life is our spirituality. And when it comes to practical things like, you know, free will, that's I can't imagine that's what they're talking about, right? They have to be talking about our spirituality. So when it comes to our spirituality, God gives us free will. He doesn't pull us back towards him. If you notice, we're being pulled constantly towards bad. Like, it's influenced outside of us. We feel the temptation inside of us because of the things outside
of
us.
But God would draw you, pour you toward him, too, if you wanted that.
You think that?
I know that.
Or would that be the Holy Spirit that's within us?
No, that would be God.
Okay. Because we do have the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit's acting within us, and he created that in us, is that him, or is that something that he created?
The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our common sense.
So will he be the one that pulls us towards God, or is that God doing it?
God is doing it.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Amazing.
Oh, another thing I wanted to say is if I were to listen to feelings nowadays, which I do my best not to, I would feel very sad that Christians, because I speak, I don't know if you definitely don't remember, never ask a black man to remember, right?
Like you never.
Said. if I did listen to feelings, I would feel very sad that when I speak, because I told you when I did the counseling that I have this temptation to help others and talk to others. And you said, but I wasn't like nervous that I wasn't ready. You told me, what am I waiting for? Just do what's in the moment. And if I feel the need to talk to people, talk to them. So I have been. And I'm noticing that actually all the Christians I've spoke with, they identify with their humanity. And like you say, they call Jesus a liar because Jesus says to go and sin no more. He doesn't say go and try and sin no more. He says, go and sin no more, period.
But listen, so because of Bible Thumper Thursday, I can't really play that long. But I want to encourage you, though, don't go out there looking for people to preach to.
Yeah. No, I felt that temptation, too, and I try to navigate that.
Just let it happen. If it's meant to happen, let it happen naturally. And that way you would talk to people who want to overcome their hell. But if you're out there trying to make it happen, then you're going to be talking to people who don't want to overcome their hell, and you're throwing the truth, giving the truth over to swine, and they don't want it.
Yeah, you're correct about that. I've noticed that, and basically I make myself available.
Right on. Thank you, man.
Can I answer the biblical question?
Real fast, do you trust God?
I believe you trust. Do I trust God at the moment?
Do you trust God?
Do I trust God at the moment? No, I'm working.
No, not at the moment. Do you trust God?
I want to, but no.
You do not trust God? No, I'm sorry. It's not do you trust God. How do you trust God? My bad.
Okay, so yeah. How do you trust God? I believe you trust God when.
No, how do you trust Him?
Oh, how do I trust Him?
Yes.
Yeah. By being okay with being in the moment.
Okay. Interesting. I'll put my little 2 cents in on Sunday. Thank you, Jason.
All right. Thank you.
All right, buddy. 888-775-3773. Raphael? L.A. been waiting for a minute. Raphael, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Yes, sir, man. I want to say, I came to call just to say, you know, I love your show. I love you, Jesse, and I love everybody that works at Bond. They're all doing a great job. I've been there. I've attended the church. You know my brother, Lucas.
Oh, yeah. But
now I got another thing that came to me. Guy went on after I called in here. I heard the guy from Scotlandia. And I got to say something to you, is that don't focus on the friendship. That's a made-up word. It's true. That is not true that there's friendship. There's right. only love and there's hate.
Absolutely.
And if you have love for your brothers and your sisters, you got something good. And if you have hate, even on one of them, you have hate on all of them. So don't focus on friendship is just a word to confuse you, to put you in the middle between those. And there's no such thing as in the middle of hate and love.
Deep.
There was also
amazing.
The guy, huh?
Amazing.
Yes, sir. What did you have to say?
I said you're right about that. Amazing.
Yes, sir. And I just want to also say that to that director that guy who works in the mogul industry.
Yes.
You know, that is good that he's starting to speak from the heart and that he is not afraid because of the temporal or the mind, the fears of the mind. Because those thoughts are going to work against you in the end. And it is good what Jesse said, forgive the mother, forgive the father, forgive those grandparents that gave them the same path to be able to put you in the path you're in. But guess what? It's all God's plan. There is no, you don't have a control over what's going to happen next. It's all in God's hands. You think you have the will to do what you want? Trust me, God will put his will over yours. And his plan is before yours, after yours, and in yours.
Amazing.
You don't have a choice.
Raphael, and thank you, man. I got it, Robert. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I love you guys, and I'll be talking to you soon, Jesse. You know I'll call in. We'll have a chat. All right.
Absolutely,
take care, buddy. Guys.
Okay.
Everybody.
Amazing. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Ron. You've been waiting a minute here out of Texas. Ron, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Uncle Jesse. How's it going?
All is well, Ron.
Good. I didn't call about this, but I did want to kind of fill in the blank of what you and that other guy was talking about.
Robert.
With Martin Luther King.
Oh, Robert? The guest?
Yeah, the Italian guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it was because John F. Kennedy got Martin Luther King out of jail.
Oh,
is what he was looking for.
Oh, Robert was talking about somewhere something happened. He wasn't for sure, but somehow or another, when King met Kennedy in the car somewhere, he switched from Republican to Democrat. He went along with Kennedy. Are you from, right, so you're Kennedy. Familiar with that?
Yeah, a little bit, you know.
I kind of heard something about that, too, but I don't know the depths of what happened. I've forgotten.
Yeah, that's the big switch everybody's talking about. You know, that's when black people just massively switched to Democrat Party.
I know that, according to all the reports, the King guy was a Republican when he started out, but he did somehow or another switch at some point and went along with the Democrats. And I was thinking that it happened during the Lyndon B. Johnson's time when Lyndon B. Johnson promised black people welfare and stuff. And I remember them signing this welfare bill thing, whatever they did. And Kennedy and King was there. And I can tell then that King had switched. And from that point forward, they became the leader of the blacks. And it's been down here ever since.
Ever since. And that leads me to what I called about.
Okay.
Okay. Now, 85% of black Americans voted for Kamala Harris, right?
What a mess.
Okay. And you have said that voting pattern is a form of retardation.
Retardation?
Yes, sir.
I don't remember saying it, but yes, it's true.
I agree with you 100%.
I noticed that now, the Jews, they are liberal too, most of them, not all, of course, but they're liberals, and it never made sense to me why the Jews are liberal, nor based on what they have gone through. And even the Jews voted for Kamala Harris, and that blew my mind, because when they were in office, Kamala and Biden, they showed no love to the Jews. But yet now, the Jews vote liberal as well.
That you just made my whole point. Now, the question I have for you, are you willing to go on live TV, live YouTube, and say that the Jews are retarded for voting for Kamala Harris 79%?
That's retardation, no matter who. Yes.
Okay.
Why do you want me to do that?
I didn't think you would do it.
Why not?
Because it's not the thing to do.
That's not true. I love the Jews.
Yeah, but you can't criticize
them. Do you love the Jews?
I love the Jews.
Nice.
But you can't you can't criticize.
All right.
I didn't think you would, but kudos to you, brother.
Amazing. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate it. Super chat. Super
chat. Super chat.
Jake Hudson gave a Rumble rant saying, give James a raise.
That's for sure.
That's amazing. Kind of, thank you, Jake.
Yeah.
You just did.
Yeah.
Daniel over on X says, I've started listening to your sermons a couple days ago. I got to say, it's making me think different and look at my life in a different way, but in a good way.
Right on.
Thumbs up.
Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. Wake up. It's going to be amazing when you wake up. Stay with it. Amazing.
Charles, hey, Jesse, every week Josh from Georgia calls in about the biblical question, and every answer he leaves it blank. Sir, put more thought into these questions before you call. Thanks in advance.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Charles.
What the?
Shout out, Josh.
Shout out, Josh.
Hannes, three coffees. Pithiness.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hannes.
I like that. Thank you.
Me too. JD from New York, three coffees. Love you all. Want to talk about free will. Cannot get through to the show. Is there an additional number to call other than 1-800-888-775-3773?
No.
I just get a busy signal.
No, that's the only. It's just that you have to call early or keep trying because it just lights up even before the show starts.
Yeah.
Start, people already calling in. So keep trying. Don't give up.
Yeah. Every so often, try.
Yeah.
And as you hear Gerald P. wrapping up with a caller, you can try because a line usually opens up when he hangs up with the caller.
Absolutely.
Sion, no, English is my third language. Sorry. I'm saying the other person may just want to live together and worry about finances and not be able to provide. Since it's not my culture to live together outside of marriage, also I don't agree with that. I feel like they don't want marriage. Then in the process, eggs will be scrambled, and the whole point of marriage is having kids, she says.
Nice. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sienna.
Omisa, tell people to call right when a caller drop. That's what James just said, too.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Omisa, my PR guy.
Tom bought a coffee. Good morning, y'all. I realize for the thoughts that are recurring, the ones that seem never to leave, the reason they keep coming is because I am blind.
Yeah.
I thought I could see, and I thought I did not judge, but I have already judged. That is why I am so blind.
Absolutely. That's deep. But stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. Don't stop. Stay with it. Amazing.
Very nice. Thank you, Tom. Nikki, five coffees, biblical question answer.
How do you trust God?
I trust God by surrendering my will to His, knowing He has a greater plan than my own.
Amazing. Thank you. And I'll put my little two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
Right on, Nikki.
Yeah.
Thanks for the five coffees. Hector on X, having Robert Davi on the show is awesome.
It was an amazing discussion, too. Really, really amazing. Thank you.
Yeah. Zyloch over on Rumble with a Rumble rant. Morning, Jesse. Since it's beta to crouch on one knee and propose, will you marry me? How else should an alpha male propose to a woman? Amazing.
Just stand up and say, hey, will you come into my world? I'd like to marry you, bring you into my world. Stand up and say, don't get on your knees. Otherwise, you're going to be on your knees for the rest of your marriage, and it won't be pretty. Thank you.
Anthony on a Cash App, Bond JLP. Crap, rap, and garbage rock. Been saying that for years.
Yeah. Well, mess. Thank you.
Terry has an answer to the biblical question.
How do you trust God?
I trust God by obeying Him.
Interesting.
Nice.
Thank you. I want to respond to that. It's so amazing. But I'll put my two cents in on Sunday. Thank you.
Joshua bought a coffee. I do the silent prayer like my spirit is going somewhere.
Thank you. Amazing. Stay with it.
And thank you, guys. I do believe that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you all. Let me go to Fisher, a first-time caller out of Missouri. Fisher, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
How you doing, Jesse?
All is well. Amazing.
So, yeah, I'm from St. Louis, and I'm kind of piggybacking off the Martin Luther King.
Yes.
And how he was an agent of destruction for the black community.
Right.
Right. And I believe we should gangrene what has persisted in since the 60s for the black community, if that makes sense.
You believe we should what now?
Like gangrene.
What that
mean? You
know
what I mean? Like amputate. Like cut it off. Like everything that has existed should no longer exist.
Amazing. I love that idea.
So correct. And I'm part of the sacrifice, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't be coming out of the storm unscathed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not great at what the picture should be, you know what I mean? Like, how can you say this? The mistakes that you make, you know, result in the life that you live. Correct. And my way of looking at it is, doing bad things were always presented as good things in my community. You know what I mean? And I feel like it's too late to chase your tail.
Amazing. And you're black, right?
Yes, sir. I am very African-American.
Right on. And so you feel like, are you saying it's too late to overcome all that?
I feel like if you chase your tail, you do more destruction doing that because you let the disease still stay.
And so are you saying you can't overcome it or you can't?
I believe we're too far in to overcome.
And why is that?
Because 85% of us voted for Kamala Harris.
But as an individual, you can overcome it, right?
As an individual, yes, sir. But that takes a strong mind state to wake up and actually start noticing that.
But that can...
I'm 30 now, and most of my peers, for some reason, we still act like we're 18 to 22.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're kids raising kids,
and we're basically destroying these kids before they even get a chance to enjoy life. And Fisher, that bothers me on multiple levels.
I understand. Fisher, hold, can you hold for a minute?
Yes, sir.
Let me take a quick break. 888-77-JESSE. Back in a moment. The treasure chest is now open on D-Live. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married, and the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's gonna have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong, but do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see, but you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature. Okay, folks, welcome back. Quick announcement, and I'm getting back to the callers here. The board is smoking. 888-77-JESSE. The Hate Report is coming up at the top of this hour, right after my show. The Hake, H-A-K-E report.com from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And if you missed it yesterday, make sure you podcast. He had Big Bob on. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. Check it out. So make sure you podcast yesterday's show. All of them, really, but yesterday especially. So the Hake Report from 9 to 11. And after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then after Joel, the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby at 12, right after, how come I don't see your picture? Right after Joel Friday, there you go. American Anchor Baby, at 12 noon. Check them out on Rumble and all those things. All right. The women's forum this Thursday, ladies, I forgot to mention that. Ladies forum at 7 p.m. every third Thursday night of the month. For ladies only. And first Thursday night for men only. And Sunday morning, everybody and they mama if you're black. And everybody and their mama if you're white. For men only on the first Thursday. So see you Thursday night, ladies. If the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go quickly back to Fisher. So Fisher, you believe that it's too far down the road, per se, for blacks to overcome living and thinking in the way that they think, huh?
Yes, and I believe we should be willing to sacrifice for our youth. It'll take four generations to make a difference. That's less than 100 years. If we're not willing to sacrifice anything, we won't change anything. I don't think anyone's ready to be martyrs anymore. Everyone wants to see the product now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm willing to stand on the front line to see my sons not be poisoned and damaged the way I was.
Right on. And when you say we should sacrifice for our youth, do you just mean for your own children, not somebody else's children, right?
No. I mean for all the children, black, white, whatever color you want to be, children are children. You know what I mean?
But why should you sacrifice for them?
You said, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, should we sacrifice for anybody else, other children other than our own?
because that's the community. We're all one. We're Americans. You know what I mean? We're not separate. We're not divided. We all have the same agenda to live, be prosperous, and enjoy everything that we have.
But still, we shouldn't be sacrificing for it about our children, because most people of all races don't want to overcome their hell. They don't want to overcome their misery. And so as God does, we should just leave them. Now, you're responsible for your children until they become adults, right? But God, that's why God leaves people in their hell until they want to come out. Why do you think blacks have been living such a miserable life for the last 70 years, except for those who have started to wake up and work on themselves? We should sacrifice for the children or anyone. Because people who are in hell...
It seems like the selfless thing to do. You know what I mean? It seems like the selfless thing to do. It seems like the most righteous thing to do is to help more.
Help what?
Help more people, not just your people. You know what I mean?
Well, you shouldn't be trying to help anybody.
Okay.
Yeah, because, again, human beings are evil, and they love their misery. And if you try to help them, they're going to pull you into their hell because they're not ready to come out, and they're going to hate you for trying to help them, and they'll destroy you. You can only, by being a living example, you be that example, and if somebody want to overcome, they'll ask you, hey, how did you overcome? And it's those people or person that you should help, but you would make a horrible mistake trying to help anyone. Even your own daddy, your own mama, your brother, sister, cousin, so-called friends, or anything. You can't help anyone else.
Yes, sir.
What do you think about that?
Yes, I think it makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
I can refocus and start sacrificing myself for my totality.
Absolutely.
Be the change that I'm willing to, that I want to see. And
exactly.
Represent to the world.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Amazing, man.
Have a good day, Jeffy.
You too, Fisher. Thank you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Bye. Let me go 888-775-3773. Let me go to Chris out of Ohio. Chris. Welcome to the show, Chris.
How are you today?
All is well.
I'm fine. Thank you for allowing me to call you and get to talk to you. I greatly appreciate that.
You're welcome.
You know, while I was listening till you accepted the call and everything like that, and I had talked to you last week and you asked me to call you back, and it was a religious matter, and I know it's not a religious day to talk about it.
No, it's fine.
Because you do have specific... Okay. Because, you know, I grew up in a small town. I live in Beaver Creek, Ohio, but I grew up in a small town called Yellow Springs, Ohio, and it was a... it was really strange because it was a very strong Republican town with probably about 2,800 people. But Antioch College was one of the most liberal colleges in the world. So you had a stronghold of Republicans with a liberal college. But anyhow, I'm saying all that to say this. My mother had these little signs hanging up in the kitchen, and the one that made the most impact on me was where it says, children learn what they live. And I have known a lot of my black friends, they were all Democrats, but we never fought, you know, which was so nice.
Right.
And what I see now is that the black community votes blue no matter who. And if there is a black, it's another impact.
Yeah.
So... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's really sad because it's no different than, you know, you were talking about forgiving your mother and your father and everything. During biblical time, Yahweh told the Israelites when they went in to conquer lands, they said, don't you get attached to the women because they will steal your heart.
Amazing.
And it made them worship other deities.
Yeah.
But the main thing that I called you about was, you know, how do I know, you know, how I trust Yahweh or how I trust God?
How do you How do you trust God?
Right. I trust him by my life experiences.
Meaning what?
And I found, well, what I'm saying is that there was a time when my wife and I got married, and we were at a very, very low time. I was a tool and die maker. I made the models for Eastman Kodak, and I got laid off. I had to take another job. I lost everything, and I'm serious, except my house. I had to start. As a kid, I had a paper route, and I worked at the Tasty Freeze as a 9-year-old kid, so I started collecting silver coins.
Because of time, how do you trust God? How do you trust God?
Life experiences. I don't ask for God. I don't ask Yahweh to help me. I thank Yahweh because he has.
Okay.
And from that, I'm able to trust everything that he says he's going to do. I know he's going to do it because I kept my mouth. I become more still. And by becoming still, he's able to work a work in my day.
Oh, amazing.
And I can trust that.
Amazing. So have you dropped all your anger?
I have dropped a lot of it, I'll tell you that, from a young man to where I am now.
And so,
you know, I'm not going to lie and shuck and jive you, you know.
Have you dropped all your anger?
No, I haven't.
Why don't you trust God enough to drop
anger? You know, it's a good point. I think all of us go through a metamorphosis that there are times and there are seasons where we will actually see this come about. And I have been able to, he's allowed me to drop a lot of my anger because of trusting him.
And why have you dropped all of it?
I personally can't do it until he allows me to do it. You know, we always keep thinking we have free will, but he says, I've declared the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
So he knows what's going to happen. And if he knows what's going to happen, he knows that Chris is going to drop this anger at a certain time. And by doing that, I can trust that.
Chris, thank you for your call because of time, but thank you for responding to the biblical question. And I'll put my little two cents in on Sunday. I appreciate it.
Okay. I hope it made sense to you.
I want to respond to what you said, but I got to wait until Sunday. But
I got you.
But call me on Bible Thumper Thursday as well.
Okay, I'll try to do that. I really will.
All right, buddy. Take care now.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Amazing. 888-7753-773. Let me go to Rick out of Hampton, Virginia. Rick, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
What's up, Jesse? Everybody and their mama will listen to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, Joel Friday Show, Nick's Show, and the Hank Report for Knowledge Today, brother.
Amazing. Thank you, Rick. That's amazing.
Man, you know, I was, golly, the guy who you guess you had on, he plays music like Frank Sinatra.
Robert Davi?
Yeah.
Yes.
The guest you had on.
Right.
Wow. I can see what he's going through, man, because when it comes to dealing with blacks, even when it comes to studying the scriptures, black folks, they so busy trying to find all the dirt that the white folks did in the Bible.
I know. Well, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like,
you're right.
And it disturbs my spirit. They always, even, I mean, I have met, I don't, you know, you always hear, I don't trust white people. I say, I have met some beautiful white Christian people. I have.
Yeah.
And according to the blacks, you can't even meet a nice white Christian, according to the blacks.
Well, the reason they feel and that way because they're not nice Christian themselves, so they think the world is as they are. They can't see.
Man, you're right, Jess. I think it's the anger, man. Cause like,
right.
Absolutely. Even just what you were saying in the show to, Robert Dobby?
Yes.
And when you were saying you can't, I mean, a white person can't express their opinion. Like, if they have a conversation with a black person, and if that white person disagree, it's either a big argument or a fight. You know, it's like...
It's a mess.
I mean, it's according to blacks, every race came out of black folks. They truly believe that.
I know.
Everybody came from black folks, and I'll tell them every. And you know, I don't understand either, too, Jesse. Why don't a lot of blacks realize that the Africans sold the blacks to the Arabs and Europeans? Even the Europeans was trying to get the Africans to stop slave trading.
Yeah.
But you never hear them talk about that, and they always, I mean, some, and you know, with this reparation mess, they're not serious, Jesse. You know how I know they ain't serious?
Why?
Because they ain't asking Africa for no reparations. They should be the main one. They should be first on the list.
Because Africa ain't got no money.
You know what? I believe Africa, they got some money, Jesse.
Where is
they
it?
They got some money.
Oh, they probably. You may be right, and then it's being controlled by the people who control the government in the same way.
The corrupt government.
In the same way the Democrats are trying to do here.
Exactly. That's what it is. They have incompetent government leaders which mismanage the resources and make terrible deals and be in debt to nations. So you can't, when you owe people money, your nose is on the grindstone, as the Bible says. You are servant to the lender.
Yeah.
And Africa owes mostly everybody, so you can't. It's just like if you can't pay them back, they're gonna say, "Hey, give me this oil at a nice discount price, if you will." I mean, a real nice discount price. You know what I'm saying, Jesse?
What a mess!
Yeah,
right. So, let me ask:
Sure.
Do you think the blacks will ever get better, or are they gonna continue to get worse?
You know what, Jesse? I think a few will wake up, and I hope I'm wrong. Maybe a few here wake up, because it seemed like to me when I talk to black, they don't understand anger. I'm not angry. Yeah. Hey, look, you probably ain't turning over tables. You don't have to turn over tables. It's hidden.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, all you got to do is take the situation and watch that anger get out that cage.
Amazing.
You know?
Rick,
yeah.
Thank you, buddy. Yes, I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Okay, Jess, no problem. Love you. Thanks for taking my call, Jess. Y'all be blessed.
You too, buddy. I appreciate you. 888-773-773. Super Chat.
Super Chat.
Super Chat.
Shout out to the top contributors on the DLive crew.
Shout out.
Which includes Games for Rec, Beta Legs, Taking Care of Business, Kid Combo 1, and the rest of the supporters over there.
Beta Leg means skinny legs.
I don't know. He might be wheelchair bound. I don't want to dox his handicap status or lack thereof. But I think that he's talking about that. A lot of people think they're embarrassed that they're handicapped, and they don't want you to call them beta. But that's not what beta means.
No. Not.
Although I have a beta back, but that's because of, anyway.
Beta back. You still have a beta back?
I plead the fifth. Don't try me on the street.
For a beta.
I stay off the street.
I don't blame you with a beta back.
Shout out to Dustin Cross, Jules Verne, DJT2020, FN, Super Trucker, Jules Verne, if I didn't say you already, Anna Banana, Rama Lama,
Anna Banana,
Old Saucy, Quartus 41, Buddy, Pastor Shadley, and the rest of the supporters over there on the Rumble crew, as always.
Thank
guys.
You all. You got to know how to rumble. Thank you.
And thank you, guys. I think that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you. I appreciate it. Let me go quickly to Jason out of Long Island, New York. Jason, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Jesse, I just want to say that you're absolutely on the money about no such thing as friends.
And why do you say that?
Because I have a so-called friend, and, you know, we just stopped talking, and I got hurt because I thought he was my friend, you know?
Yes.
Well, you said there's no such thing as friends.
Right.
So I realized, yeah, you know, if you call somebody a friend, then you're right. You think they owe you something or you owe them something.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Right on, man. And you're right. That's why we should just live without titles, without attaching ourselves to anything or anyone. That way we can enjoy each other when we're around each other, and when we're not, we're fine, and if we see and talk, fine. But the moment you attach a title to it, it's ownership, and it just creates problems.
And another thing that you say, if you're trying to make a relationship to work,
yep.
You know, it's not going to work. Like,
yep.
Yep. You're right.
You are never, 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 ever, 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 but never, ever is abnormal. It's not natural to try to make a marriage work or so-called friendship or anything. Either it worked naturally or it doesn't happen at all, because if you try to make it work, all you're doing is destroying it. It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all.
Thank you, Jason.
Love you, Grandpa Jesse.
You too, buddy. Amazing. Bye now. Renee is out of Texas. Renee, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. Good morning. How are you?
All is well.
Hey, I had my biggest nightmare happen to me a couple weeks ago. And I thought I would call you because I knew you'd get a kick out of it.
What happened?
I took a plane. It was a regional jet, and it was when that first plane went down in the Potomac.
Yes.
So I got on the same kind of plane, a regional jet, and guess what? The pilot, the main captain, was a female.
Oh, my God. Don't say black.
And no, not black. But the co-pilot looked like a 21-year-old boy. Oh. And I got on the plane, and I said, what the?
I was
terrified.
Yeah.
I was terrified.
And how long was the flight?
This one was about an hour and 10 minutes. Oh. But usually those regional jets are small,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Small trips.
Yeah.
But it was my second flight of the day. I had taken a plane from Tampa to Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And that one was okay. But I don't know about you, but for me, when I fly, I want that captain to be an old white man.
Yes.
With his shirt halfway tucked in, his hair a mess. He looks like he drank half a bottle of whiskey the night before. And he got up and he went to work and had two cups of coffee and he's ready to fly. That's the kind of guy I want flying my plane.
Making America white again. Amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you.
You know a pilot that looks like that has been through some stuff in his life, and he's ready for whatever.
Absolutely, man. Amazing. Amazing right. story. Thank you, Renee. Amazing.
Thanks.
What? Is it Fritz? What? Frenzy? Frenzy. A first time call out of North Carolina. Frenzy, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, is that me right here?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I tried to call before, but didn't get a chance to talk.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. I have a very tough problem dealing with women right now. And in life generally, like everywhere I go, I'm faced with fear.
Yeah.
And I try to like relax, especially when I'm in public places.
Right.
I try to relax. But this very strange thing is happening where as soon as I relax, all these low life people get close to me for some reason. It's almost like I'm attracting these people into my life.
Right.
And
how old are you?
35.
Oh, okay. 35?
Yeah.
Okay.
35, but I feel like for my age, I'm very immature.
Right.
About life.
Yep.
I feel like not a real man.
Well, most men, all men, until they overcome their mother, they do not mature at all. Because they have a female mentality and emotions,
right?
They don't mature because of that. So and all men are like that.
And that's how I feel like. Sometimes I feel like I have this very feminine nature.
Yes. And you
it's
do.
Not, it
you
doesn't
have,
feel natural.
It's not. You have the spirit of your mother. That's why you must forgive your mother so God can forgive you, and he'll take away the mother spirit and give you back your spirit you had before before your mother traumatized you. Have you forgiven her?
Not really. Every time I think about going to talk to her, I get like anxious.
Yeah. And that's why you have fear. You resent your mother. You have anger. You hate your mother. And as a result of hate, anyone that has hate has fear. And so when you're out and about dealing with women, it's like dealing with mama. You fear. All men fear women.
Yeah, I have this weird fear when I talk to women, like it's strange because I try to fight it.
Yeah.
But the more I fight it, like the more fearful I become.
You're not going to overcome it by fighting it. You're going to overcome it by forgiving your mother.
And also,
let me ask, because of time, are you able to call me back tomorrow or whenever, and I'll take your call as soon as you call in?
Yeah, I can do that.
Because I'm all out of time right now, and I don't want us to get cut off here. Call me, if not tomorrow, whenever you can, and we'll pick up on this. It's very interesting, all right?
Okay, that's good. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay. I am so out of time. Callers, the rest of the callers, I did the best I could to get to all. I'll be back tomorrow, the Lord is willing, and the creek don't rise. Manhood Hour tomorrow is Wednesday. The hate report is coming up now. TheHateReport.com from 9 to 11. And after the hate report, Joel Friday TV, you black. And then after that, the American Anchor Baby. Listen, folks, you can have perfect peace right here on earth. Really. But you got to drop the anger. You must forgive. And God will forgive you. Change your heart. Do the silent prayer. RevealingTheMan.com/prayer. Practice staying present. Out of the illusion of your imagination. Out of time. Be present. There is no time in God. There's only time in evil. Stay out of your head. All right. Do the silent prayer. Thank you all for your support, the super chats, and the donation and everything. I'll be back tomorrow. The Lord is willing, and the creek don't rise. And the ladies meeting Thursday. Don't forget, ladies, get ready. It's going to be a meeting. Bye. Check out my book, Courage to Responsibility. I show you how I was able to overcome anger. The spirit of anger was taken away from me. I had it. And as a result of having anger, I was insecure. I had doubt, worry, fear. I was in a fallen state and didn't know it. And it wasn't until I went and forgave my mother, who tried to turn me away from my father. I forgave my father for not being there and returned back to him. My spirit connected with his spirit, and through him, I was able to return to God. And I have perfect peace. Perfect love casts out anger. And when anger is gone, fear and doubt, worry, insecurity, suicidal thoughts, all of that is gone. And you are free. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Or if you want an autographed copy, you can go to my website at RebuildingTheMan.com or call 800-411-BOND. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingaman.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven.